If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hi there, old guy. It's Dimitri calling again, the guy from the street. I left you a message several days ago. You said you were interested. Now, here's the way I work. I don't like leaving second messages, but I like you. You're a very elegant woman. You're very attractive. But, you know, I don't play that game. I know your friends tell you not to return calls. You're playing games like you see on stupid TV shows. So here's how it's going to work. It is now 4:30 on Wednesday. But if I do not receive a phone call back from you by 3 o'clock Thursday afternoon, I'm no longer interested, and you can erase my number. I don't play games like that. I'm completely single. I'm very intelligent. I'm great in bed. I make great money. Believe it or not, I'm a complete catch. There's nothing wrong with me. Matter of fact, I'm one of the few men in the city that has nothing wrong with him.
And now,
can I say a-hole?
Yes.
Yeah.
Asshole.
Our feature presentation.
There's nothing wrong with me.
Oh, I love that chick, New York.
Giant douche.
That guy's good. He does good work.
Yeah.
Morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 5th of...
Yes.
Miss Cleo, who answers phones here at K-Rock, came in a couple of minutes ago, and she said, I think it was Kevin that called from the parking lot to come out and get him, but it didn't sound like him. And I'm like, dude, he's been gone all weekend. It's going to take him days to recover to get back to the Kevin we know.
It really is. I'm exhausted.
He's got to be pretty rough this morning.
But she said I sounded like Hasselhoff. That's...
Well, that was on the air yesterday.
No.
She said that this morning, too?
Yes.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff. Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
Right. There's nothing going on right now.
Did Lollapalooza kick your ass?
Yes, it did, as a matter
of
fact.
Well, good. Then you had a good time.
Had a great time.
But it sounds like, though, from what you were describing yesterday, live from Chicago, it sounds like you were really only interested in the headliners, which would only have been a... couple of hours a day. How did the rest of the weekend beat you down so much?
Well, we just, you know, wandered around. The grounds were, I don't know, 75 miles long and by 4 feet wide. And so we just checked other bands out and stuff. And you just walk. It turned out I walked forever.
Right.
And that's how we, and it was kind of warm and it was nice. It was fun. I had a great time, but, I'm exhausted for some reason. I don't know why.
Did you do anything else in Chicago? Go see anything?
Not a thing.
Just Lollapalooza.
Just Lollapalooza. Yeah. Didn't really have much time to do that stuff. But
Dave squeezed in a Cubs game, I guess.
Yeah, he kept asking
his big outing.
Hey, you want to go to the Cubs? I was like, I don't know. Is it baseball? Yes, it's been, no thanks. But it's Wrigley Field. I don't care.
Why would you care about Wrigley Field?
Are the Bears playing there? No. Okay, then I'm out.
By the way, if you'd stuck around a couple more days, the Bears do have a preseason game this week, I think.
Oh, that would have been
cool. Everybody does, but I think the Bears are playing in Chicago, maybe.
That I would have liked.
Yeah.
Yeah, but where can I get them? I mean, they're like, all right. Where is there...
There's nothing going on right this second.
Hey, Lisa May, I was listening to Bill Handel today on KFI, who I don't listen to very often. But he was talking about testing for his orange belt this past weekend.
You're kidding.
No.
Someone told me he was doing this.
What a pussy.
He might even be in the same system that I'm in.
If that's the case, then I see some sort of a death match happening.
Yes.
I see two men enter, one man leaves is what I see.
Well, you're the death. Orange belt. Let me tell you, orange belt, you're not even going to the testing center. You're still at your dojo.
Really?
Really?
That's
you spit on his orange belt.
Exactly.
You could kick his ass.
That's only his third belt.
Yeah, and do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available, do you know?
So you could totally take him. If Bill Handel tried to attack you in the parking lot at the Grove, you could serve him.
No question.
Okay.
No question. Why would
yesterday,
Bill Handel attack me in a parking lot in the Grove?
Don't know, but
I don't
you
know.
You could handle him.
But
if he
I
did.
Could handle him. Yeah. I could handle.
Yesterday, by the way, the challenge was made for Psycho Mike to try to sneak up on you, and he dropped the ball 100%.
That's right.
Well, actually, he snuck up once, but I just started rubbing him.
Well, that's not what we were. That's Come not on, what we guys. Were hoping was going to happen.
You're guys. It's pretty damn easy.
Best defense ever.
That's true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's what they teach you. I got you.
That's the brown belt right there.
I already knew that.
Yeah.
How far is right. the festival from the Marriott Palm Desert? Do you know?
About 3,000 miles.
Well, that's a good place to stay.
Yeah. Hoffa, what do you think of Lisa May?
Now that's what I call a boxed lunch.
Well.
Wow. Why would he say that?
Yeah, what context?
Why would anyone say that? Was that him?
Oh, yeah.
Why would Hoffa. He say that?
I don't know.
Somebody
I don't know.
Somebody came out
show.
As a boxed lunch?
I don't know.
Odd.
And when do they get the stuff really get going? In the afternoon?
Do some research, for God's sakes.
By the way, I think I must have some kind of drinking hangover.
That Problem? Just,
oh.
Some kind of
that makes me
weird form of drinking hangover?
No, but that makes me sound that way when I'm not even hungover. I think I'm permanently damaged is what I'm saying. Really? I'm damaged goods.
Because you did sound that way yesterday. I wondered if you were at a place where they had a bar.
You know what I think it is? Is that Kevin probably did stop drinking long enough before the show started to sober up. But he has problems sleeping as
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I do. That's true.
And I think when he drinks, it just makes it even worse. So he comes to work just like on like 1 hour sleep, you know, of real sleep.
Cause that his brain is like being hungover.
His brain can't
having
shut off.
No sleep.
Well, for me.
That's how I feel, too.
I mean, honestly, if I get a full night's sleep, how sharp am I?
That's
you know?
True. And then you really? Got the dryness problem.
Then I got that. I don't know what that is.
Drunk sleep isn't very
it isn't.
Good sleep.
It's I don't
not,
think so
it's
either.
It's not like real sleep. Mm-hmm.
I wake up a lot when I'm drunk. It pisses me off. I keep thinking, well, if I just drink more.
Is that how you do it?
Maybe I can rest more. Doesn't tend to work out that
like a
way.
A big bottle of vodka by the bed.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
All right.
We have Seth Rogen and James Franco on the program today.
Yeah. How about that?
This
talking about
looks funny.
Pineapple Express, which I'm very excited about, which comes out tomorrow, I want to say.
Yes, it does. It's weird. It's not a holiday this weekend, but that's coming out tomorrow. And Dave's Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, that's coming out tomorrow. I don't know why all these Wednesday releases. It's not Thanksgiving or anything. What the hell's going on?
Are you mocking Dave by saying that, or he's excited by it?
I don't know. It seems like the kind of movie that he and his girlfriends would be going to, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Emma Tamblyn.
Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, too. Give me a break. Spencer Pratt in Playgirl.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
Really?
Maybe. They get a lot of offers. They have that's one thing you can say about those Hills kids is they do wake up every day with lots of different opportunities to cash in if they choose to, and this is just one that's been offered to them.
I wish they didn't wake up every day. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
You know?
I hear you.
Manny Ramirez, a Dodger?
Ah!
Everyone as happy as Mike about that? I don't know. It's funny because
I think it depends on how he plays.
Well, he's been playing pretty well.
Yeah, so far, so good.
Turns out he's a pretty decent player.
Yeah.
A frequent K-Rock emailer, Vic, pointed out.
Feeling that,
you! Different Vic. Pointed out that his nickname should be Man Ram.
Really?
Man Ram. Manny Ramirez.
Man Ram.
Oh,
I think he was just mocking him. Seriously, Man Ram does sound like a porn name. Yeah, exactly. But that was a big move for LA to get him.
Rumor has it that our man Dwan has a new job.
Good for him.
I'd have to check in with that. And I don't know if you've heard about these pray at the pump people, but they go to a pump and they pray.
Yep,
for
they
lower
sure do.
Gas prices. They say, "Lord, please make this gas cost less." And you know what? It has.
It has.
It's come down.
This time it has. I remember when they did this same thing months ago. It didn't help at all. It just continued to go through the roof.
No. They were praying then, and now is when
it
has
just
to
took
fruition.
A long time.
Exactly.
I see. Because the list of prayers for God to get to is backed up, so it just is a little bit of a delay from when they put in the request.
He had to put some things in place.
I'm guessing that that if God ranks them in order of importance, gas prices are at the bottom.
Right.
I'm guessing he's not moving that right up to the top.
Right, exactly.
So anyway, we're going to talk about that and lame things that you or your family or your friends prayed for. Because I'm not sure everybody has the... Seems like every human being on earth has a different understanding of how prayer works. If there's a God, first of all, and then how prayer works if there is.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is that there's no answer. There's no way to find out. So you pretty much just settle on how you believe the system works and then you just go with that.
Well, the system has brought the gas prices down, and we're very happy about that.
Yeah, thank God. Who'd ever thought we'd be so happy to be paying 405. I mean,
I know. No kidding.
Way to go, God.
Nice
if you're
going to
pray, why not bring it down to 99?
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
All right.
Pretty.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 547.
You can win a brand new 2008 Harley Sportster motorcycle, by the way. That's the grand prize drawing that we're doing on Friday morning. Give you a bike and let you ride it with the Foo Fighters. How about that? So we'll give you a chance to qualify for that. Give you all the details on the way this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Several chances for you to win. It's 547. Ralph has joined us in the studio. What's going on, Ralph?
You have to ride the bike with the Foo Fighters?
Everybody's you get to ride the bike with the Foo Fighters.
No, like six guys on a bike. That sounds dangerous.
I think they
I
have their
no
own
part of this, and I can't believe you'd find insurance that would cover it.
I think they have their own, and you have your own.
I still would like to ride behind Dave Grohl, just holding tightly around him on the back of the bike.
I've been saying that for a long time.
Yeah, the best.
And you're not talking about on the bike either.
Hey, what the? Is there a Dark Knight curse? That's what people are saying. First, Heath Ledger dies. Then, Morgan Freeman has a car accident over the weekend.
Oh.
Christian Bale, charged with assault by his mother and his sister. And a stunt supervisor in the film died in a freak accident in London while setting up a car crash. Is there a Dark Knight curse?
And Maggie Gyllenhaal's face, too, don't forget.
That's right.
Is there a Dark Knight curse?
I think yes.
There's no way you can avoid it. It's the only logical explanation as to why these things are happening to people.
Aaron Eckhart died, too.
It's in the movie, though, but not in real life.
Oh.
Yeah. Who cursed it?
Yeah.
Adam West, bitches.
Oh, interesting.
Uh-huh.
Makes sense.
I curse you. Put his mojo all over it. Now look at him.
Yeah, you don't.
Maybe next time the Hollywood Walk of Fame committee should consider that before they make the decision.
Johnny Grant, dead. See what happens when you don't give Adam West a star?
Interesting.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
Adam West.
Speaking of celebrities and crashes, Shia LaBeouf, still talking about his DUI accident. Here's the thing. Some interesting things were found at the scene of the crash.
Okay.
According to gossip columnist Janet Charlton, the actor's gym bag was found there, along with some pizza and several brand new toilet seats.
Yeah!
Odd.
Apparently, Shia and his friends have a hobby. They paint toilet seat covers, and then they sell them at local flea markets. I know.
Really?
You can take the boy out of Bohemia, but you can't take the Bohemian out of the boy. That's what I'm saying. Because his mom and dad used to be big flea market folk. That's how they'd raise money. Well, dad would grow a lot of pot, too. But mom would make jewelry and sell it at a flea market. That's how she kept body and soul together.
F*** hippies. I mean, period. F*** hippies. Been saying that my whole life. Be saying it until I die. F*** hippies.
So if you see a toilet seat with some road rash up on eBay, you know why.
Do people buy those to use as toilet seats, or are they artwork that you hang on the wall?
It's art.
But that's a good question.
They crap on art?
They hang toilet seats on the wall?
Yes.
Well, that's not good.
It's art.
Okay.
You don't know. Are Lindsay Lohan... I'm sorry. Excuse me. Let me start again. Are Lindsay Lohan and Samantha Ronson getting married? According to one source, they are. Word is that her momager, Dina, is planning a wedding for the two ladies. And, surprise, surprise, the nuptials could coincide with the release of Lindsay's new album, Spirit in the Dark, that drops this November.
Excellent.
Of course, Dina would have to try to tie in the lesbian marriage with the release of the CD.
That's nice. Sure. That's a good reason to get married.
Yeah.
Honey, let me tell you, this is what we're going to do. You're going to get married to a lesbian the same time the album comes out. It'll be great.
Freaking Lindsay Lohan. Hate her.
Her mom's the one I hate.
Oh, that's what I meant. Dina Lohan, yeah. She's disgusting. Jessica Simpson's a pretty good girlfriend. As you know, she is, of course, dating Tony Homo of the Dallas Cowgirls.
Hey.
And
boobs.
Apparently, while he's busy at training camp, she is keeping their relationship spicy by performing strip teases for him on her webcam.
Yeah.
Dude. Why hasn't that been hacked yet?
This according to a British tabloid, the London Sun. Now, a friend of Jessica says she does get occasionally concerned that some of his football buddies may be peeking in on her private performances.
Oh, do you think?
She doesn't think Tony would let that happen.
No.
Of course not. He's not in the locker room gathering everyone around saying, look at that.
Look at her. Look how dumb and hot she is. I have sex with this dumb hot girl.
Giant size candle.
Anyone else here, honey? No, no, it's just me, baby. Now take off the pants. What do you think, T.O.?
That's nice. Nice melons.
Says T.O.
Isn't the Cowboys the team that they're doing on that HBO
Hard
football reality show this year, right?
Hard Knocks. Watch America's team as they go through training camp. Hard Knocks.
Let me tell you something.
How is it?
America's team. Can we stop calling them America's team?
Yes, it's been a long time, hasn't it?
Let me tell you something. If you're going into college this fall for football season, if you're entering into college, the last time the Dallas Cowboys won a playoff game, you were in kindergarten. Just to put some perspective on America's team.
So you're saying not America's team.
I'm just saying maybe it's time we let that... That name go by the wayside.
And part of the reason they used to call them that is because their ratings were big across the country, but they don't pull anywhere near as well as the Patriots do or the Packers do or any
Colts,
number of other teams now. Yeah.
A lot of teams doing better. So let them win a playoff game, maybe, and then we'll call them America's team again.
Maybe too soon as well.
Just saying. It's been a long time. Neil Patrick Harris, of course, star of How I Met Your Mother and of Doogie Howser fame, has a big interview in this month's Out magazine. Mike, you subscribe to Out, don't you?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. He talks about his sexuality and how he decided to come out in a People magazine interview 2 years ago. He said he's not trying to be a gay advocate. He said, I'm striving to be an example of normalcy. Because I'm noticed as an actor, people are aware of what's happening in my life, and I can't change that if I tried to, but it'll be an uphill battle.
How great is male ass?
He added.
Neil admits that he's got a crush on Anderson Cooper.
Well, who doesn't?
Well.
His quote, Anderson, he's dreamy. Just dreamy. He loved him when he was on The Mole. That's when he first fell in love with Anderson Cooper.
Was that serious? I thought you were kidding.
No, that's his actual quote.
Oh, that's funny.
I just thought it was so cool when he talked in this cool, low secret agent voice.
Everyone, Lisa's right. Guys and girls alike seem to be digging at Anderson.
Yep.
How can you not love the coop?
Yeah.
Gotta love the coop. Speaking of, Barry Manilow in the news.
No. Oh, how dare
Don't
you.
Feel like you have
how
to do a Barry Manilow story.
Apparently, Barry says he is still vital and kicking at 65 years old.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
He told a gossip columnist that he likes to run on the beach in Malibu every night with his two Labrador retrievers. Until he meets someone else on the beach. And then he falls to his knees in the sand.
Oh. He didn't say that.
That was incredibly gay.
He didn't say that. But didn't he just get both hips replaced recently?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
I don't think he's jogging down the beach in Malibu with his two Labrador retrievers.
Well, it's been a few months now. He's probably recovered.
Yeah, no, he's probably running marathons.
Sure.
You're absolutely right.
He's pretty athletic and manly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is.
After he goes for his run, he says he'd like to settle in for an evening of Sex in the City reruns.
Shut up.
I'm not kidding. That is his quote from the magazine.
Come on. Shut up, man. Are you homosexual?
Yep.
That's awesome.
In a continuing my Friend of Dorothy series of showbiz stories, Pete Wentz.
Oh!
He's talking to In Touch magazine about the fact that he and wife Ashley Simpson are planning to take their baby on the road.
Oh, good.
When asked why, he said, I just think it would be cool. Yeah, nothing is better for a baby than traveling around the country and being jostled in tour buses and going on planes.
Yeah.
They love it. Can't get enough of it, the babies and the traveling. And Ryan Seacrest.
Wow.
Oh!
Gay. This is an all-gay report.
Is reportedly involved in a love triangle. According to In Touch magazine, he is currently dating. Please, everyone, hold on to your seats.
Okay.
Sophie Monk.
Oh,
that's unacceptable.
Are you familiar with the Sophie Monk?
All right, Mike, that's enough. Of course, yes.
Now, according to In Touch magazine, Ryan's a little upset because apparently Sophie has hooked up with Maroon 5 lead singer Adam Levine in a club.
He's amazing.
Again, who hasn't?
Yeah, he's amazing.
He really scores all the time.
I put this question to you. Who has worse taste in men than Sophie Monk?
Yes, that's true.
That's her that's her ground rule double right there, is Ryan Seacrest and Adam Levine.
Levine.
You know, I think what Sophie Monk was doing?
What?
I think she was giving some love to Maroon 5.
Is that right?
Maybe she was. That's a good point.
That's great.
He was giving some love to Maroon 5.
I mean, his head is in between my legs.
No? I think Sophie Monk was giving some love to Maroon 5.
Okay. You just going to wait for it?
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
And can you imagine growing up in a world without a Mr. Rogers?
I wouldn't want to.
Well, you're going to have to. PBS announced yesterday they are taking Mr. Rogers off their television schedule in September.
Aww.
Children will no longer enjoy the warm, soft, flimsy comfort that is Mr. Rogers.
I get all soapy, you know, soap suds all over me. And then my grandfather would take this hose and go like this with me.
It's not a hose.
Squirt all over me until the soap, you know, he'd rinse the suds off.
Those aren't suds.
So you were playing.
Yeah, my grandfather and I did a lot of playing together.
Oh, dear God.
There's already a campaign, Save Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, available on Facebook if you'd like to support it, asking PBS to renew the show and to keep it on the air, despite the fact that the star of the show has been dead since 2003.
Well, that doesn't make the show any less effective for little kids, though, who are watching it now. I mean, it seems like the show is still useful.
I believe that children need Mr. Rogers more than ever today. And I would like to see the show continue.
Yeah.
Some people call it a mouth organ, yeah. As you blow in there.
Oh, wow.
What is going on?
And Meatloaf in the news.
What's going on with the loaf?
You know I love the loaf.
Me too.
Apparently, the singer showed up at the XL Motor Show in London, England over the weekend.
XL stands for extra large.
How dare you?
Because he's
excel,
fat.
Excel. You
were, he's
when
a
you go
fat
forward,
guy.
You excel.
That guy is fat.
You excel. Yeah.
He's got a lot of fat.
You excel in what you're doing. You are a positive,
he weighs
moving
a lot.
Force.
When he stands on the scale, it goes way high.
He lost most of that weight, Kevin. He's husky, but he's not fat like he used to be.
Apparently, the loaf was shopping for a new car, and he got inside a TVR Tuscan sports car because he thought it was pretty stylish. However. Uh-huh. Help had to be called when he got stuck inside the car.
You fat.
Couldn't get out of the car.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Meatloaf! My God, you've put on weight.
Stuck behind the wheel. Staff had to be called over to pry Meatloaf out of the sports car.
Humiliating.
Oh, that's sad.
Apparently, Lisa, he was embarrassed, and to get over it, he ate a big portion of nachos.
Just
to soothe his...
fatness.
Ego.
Not his fatness. His
look at him. Look how fat he is.
I rented that Meatloaf documentary that came out last year recently. It was really, really interesting. The guy is a tortured soul.
Fat!
Never, never satisfied.
Fat!
I like the loaf.
Fat!
Very talented.
I'm going to check out that documentary. That sounds
it's real interesting.
That's really good.
Let's talk about celebrity birthdays, shall we? Maddox Jolie Pitt is 7 years old today.
Is that the forgotten one now that they're getting 17 others?
I think Maddox is one of the store-bought kids.
Store-bought.
I don't think he's homegrown.
He's the first one.
Asian boy.
He's the Asian with the mohawk?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good look.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought he was one of the girls.
Yeah, Beam was giving the little boy a little...
I did. I thought it was one of the girls. I can't keep track. They got too goddamn many kids.
Jonathan Silverman, star of The Single Guy and Weekend at Bernie's and other projects. He is 42 years old today. Adam Yauch of the Beastie Boys is 44 years old today. Tawny Kitaen.
Yes.
Crazy, nutty, just awesome in bed, Tawny Kitaen. You just know she's good in bed. She will do anything. You can't come up with something sexual that she would say no to. You know that for a fact.
Yeah, she's crazy.
Of course, she will try to hump you with a pump, with a high-heeled shoe.
Yeah.
That will happen.
Oh, yes. I was confused. Yeah, okay.
The girls call them pumps, Lisa.
I understand.
Yeah.
Let the romance begin.
Okay. She's 47. Pat Smear of the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
Turns 49 years old today. And Maureen McCormick.
Yeah.
Does that name sound familiar to you?
Yes.
Sort of. She played Marcia Brady on the Brady Bunch for all these years. We've been watching her on our TV. Guess how old Marcia Brady is?
700?
She's 700, Kevin. Yes. 700 years old.
Pretty old.
She's got to be older than that.
Say 51.
Very close, Psycho Mike. 52 years old
is
today.
She
Maureen
really?
McCormick celebrates her 52nd birthday. How can little Marcia Brady be 52 years
old? She looks really good.
Not only
she
was she
looked
Marcia
really
Brady.
Good until about 5 years ago. Then she started to decline.
Not only is she Marsha Brady, and we love her for that, but she also yells at Dustin Diamond on Celebrity Fat Club.
That's true.
She was the one who gave him
to task.
Gave him the business.
That's right. True. And we appreciate that. And as far as I know, Marie McCormick never passed the pencil test.
Is that right?
Marsha Brady never passed the pencil test.
Yeah, I hear that. That's true.
You know why?
No.
Because I hate the 90s. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Guys, I hate to tell you that Spencer Pratt is back in the news. The villain we love to hate from the Hills is back in the news. The guy, he's such a tool, yet at every opportunity he falls into situations where he can continue to make millions of dollars. What was the figure we heard last month, Kevin, about how much he and Heidi were making? Wasn't it like
I can't remember
$3 million a year or something absurd like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, he's apparently contemplating a recent offer from Playgirl magazine to pose naked. He could net $1 million if he does.
Oh, my God.
That's got to be an exaggeration.
I hope nobody's paying him to do anything ever.
He'd be like the most famous person they've had in their magazine, though, in a long time.
In a long, long time. So we thought we'd find out what the real deal is because, you know, Spencer, he shoots straight with us.
Sure.
And we've got him on the line of the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, Spence. Spencer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Make sure you get that angle.
Oh, it sounds like we got him right in the middle of the photo shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel good.
Spencer, can you hear us?
Hello.
Hey, Spence.
What's up?
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean. How are you?
You know, getting by as the world turns, dog.
I don't know
right.
What that means.
You're doing a photo shoot right now. Is this the one that we were just talking about from Playgirl?
I want to make sure I get all the best shots. You know, just for my big spread. Uh-huh. I want to make sure that it's the best. You know, the essence of Spencer, and I can get all my best shots. So I've been shooting, you know, pretty much round the clock for the last couple weeks.
Round the clock for a couple of weeks.
About, shoots usually
whoa,
like
whoa.
4 hours or so.
Listen to that noise. It's funny how she thinks her opinion matters.
Well, she was asking a question. Isn't a photo shoot a couple of hours?
Pipe down. Why don't you just pipe down?
All right, let me ask a question now.
All right, go ahead.
Okay.
What's up? All right, dog. Chief, Captain.
Aren't photo shoots usually about 4 hours?
That's right. Usually. Okay. But when it comes to Spencer, you got to go maybe 7-8 million exposures. You know what I'm saying? We've gone
to get a good look. Yeah.
Well, just to make sure that I get the right look. Mm-hmm. Okay. No, enough of your. I can hear your sarcasm over the phone. Okay.
Well, yeah, because it's there.
I should have you arrested.
You can't have her arrested.
Spencer. Raping my ears right now.
Oh,
rape.
Dear God.
This is rape in the state of California.
Spencer, why?
That's the state we're in right now.
Yeah.
Right. Yes,
look, I understand why you would do the photo shoot because A, it's a lot of money, and B, you're an egomaniac and you think that people care. But who do you really think wants to see you naked?
The masses. You know, it's like, it may not be something that I was super comfortable with at first, but you gotta take chances, you know? You gotta roll the dice in life. It was like when Tom Selleck started Apple Computers. No one really gave him a shot.
That's true. That's a good point.
He did what he needed to do, and he went up against a giant, like Samson and Darius in the old Greek saying. And then look at what happened with his beautiful hair.
Well, that's an excellent point, Spencer. We put it that way.
That's true.
All right, here's another question for you then. Women all hate you. Is it just the gay men that you're doing this photo shoot for? That's who's going to be looking at these pictures?
First, I was kind of embarrassed to have anybody look at it, but I figured, look, everybody deserves to see true beauty. You know, there's so few things that are beautiful in this world right now with the political landscape and war and bad things and poverty and disease. And I figured, why not let everybody experience the beauty that is Spencer in the nude? So I shaved my chest beard and my ball beard and my neck beard,
right.
And I made it all look pretty. And I've been tanning, and obviously I've got ripped, glistening, sinewy six-pack to show everybody. And I'm just saying, look, whether it's on a computer or whether you got a staple through my navel in the real magazine, you better have a really big monitor. Yeah.
Wow. Which brings me to Perez Hilton, who claims that Playgirl is not going to print any more magazines. It's just going to be an online site.
It better be an IMAX monitor then. You're going to have to get all of Spencer on there in the nude. Uh-huh. Yeah, Captain Chief. Yeah.
Wow.
Hey,
good job,
I have to ask just real quick, Spencer, before we hang up on you because we're revolted. Lauren Conrad is on the cover of this week's Entertainment Weekly.
Why'd you have to go and ruin my day? Everything's cover going story. So good until you mention that whore's name.
And they say she's the biggest star of the hills.
Well, they got to treat her like that, but we all know who the real star is.
Heidi?
Whatever. Yeah. I mean, maybe she's like second in line, but behind every great man,
but
there's
I'm
a great woman, not vice versa, bitch.
Right. I'm looking at these pictures, though, and I have to ask, Lauren is hotter than Heidi, Whitney is hotter than Heidi, Audrina is hotter than Heidi. Why did you pick the dog of the group, Spencer?
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder, and maybe I'm a little bit deeper than you, and I can see beauty within a person.
I'm sure that's what it is.
Not just what's on the surface, okay?
That's what you're famous for.
Yeah, all right, and let's be honest, when they step on the scale, Heidi's got the lowest figure, yeah.
Oh, that's what matters, okay.
Yeah.
Well, just for the record, Heidi and Spencer declined to be interviewed for the Entertainment Weekly article once they heard that Lauren was on the cover, so apparently the feud continues in Hillsville.
Whatever, we'll just start our own magazine, call it Sick Monthly. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, now get the ass shot. Oh, yeah, sounds good. Almost made my foot loose.
Kevin, why don't you explain to us how prayer works? You're the one who seems to be in tightest with the Lord.
Wow. That's a little scary.
Explain to us how that works. Well, the rest of us are heathens, but you seem to be down.
I believe in God. I was raised that way, and I still believe that way. Mm-hmm. But I think everybody looks at prayer differently, and it seems so bizarre because some people say, you know, God, do whatever it is you want. Some people
right,
say,
God's will.
Some people say, do what I want.
Right.
And down to details that are, it seems absurd. You know, like, please let the light turn green. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I know there's a lot of prayer going on in Vegas, like at the craps table.
Well,
you know.
Sure.
21, you know, a lot of people believe. I mean, I guess if you hear people praying on make the light turn green, your understanding of how prayer works is that God is listening to everybody at all times, and he's making a conscious decision to control every single detail of your life,
right,
based on what he thinks and based on perhaps your input.
But I don't understand that, because it seems like everything you want wouldn't come true. So wouldn't you say, oh, well, then maybe I'm praying for the wrong stuff?
And then,
I mean, I don't understand how people...
That's the part I don't get.
It's not like a shopping list. You can't just write stuff down and go, all right, here's what I'd like.
If you pray for something and you get it, then that's what God wanted you to have.
Yes.
And if you don't get it, that's because God didn't want you to have it. But does that mean that if you didn't pray for it, but you should have had it, God's not going to give it to you? That's the part I don't get.
Yeah, I don't know. Listen, I don't know. I don't understand the whole, I'm going to pray for every little, you know, it must have been God's will that that I had a flat tire today. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't think that's God's will. I think that's just a flat tire.
Over a nail.
Because I think you're right. I think the majority of people, I don't know, I'm totally guessing, I really don't know, but I think you're right that there are a lot of people who just pray for God to do whatever is best,
right,
and you just will accept that and you just go along with that. And there are a lot of people who think that God puts you on the earth if you believe in him, and that then you have free will to make your own mistakes and to make your own breaks,
right,
and then how you deal with it is a reflection of your character, and it doesn't have anything to do with individual prayers.
I would guess that would be the majority.
I think you're right. Who don't
take for granted that they know what's right or what God wants, and they ask him for every little detail. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Me either. And the reason we bring this story up today is because this isn't a joke, although when you hear the sound we're about to play, you might think that it is. But there is a group, and I think they're where? In the Midwest, maybe?
Maryland gets
together regularly to pray to bring the price at the pump down. They're praying for lower gasoline prices. Here's a little bit of the news report.
Community organizers taking a new approach to bringing down the stifling cost of gasoline. Forget pleading with OPEC to increase production. He's asking for God to intervene.
Father God, we pray again for these prices to come down. We ask that your will would be done.
Amen.
That people from day to day might be able to make ends meet.
That's right.
Our pockets are empty, but we're going to hold on to God.
This is our second week here at this Shell station.
They go to a specific Shell station and lay hands on the pump and pray for prices to come down.
But why do they think that God has anything to do with gas prices? I mean, aren't there lots of economic realities to the way the price is determined of how much you pay for gasoline that don't have anything to do with God?
Don't know, just saying the price came down.
Exactly, and that's what they're
sure
saying
did.
Too,
you know
I'm
what
sure.
I'm saying?
And we're pleased to announce that the prices have gone down.
We shall overcome.
Come on.
They shall overcome, B.
We have overcome.
Why do they always have the opera singer, too? Always. There's one woman that just loves the sound of her voice.
Because she feels the spirit, man. She can't stop it.
We believe that prayer is the answer to every problem in life. And we think that, you know, even though there may not be an instant solution.
Now, this is how he answers the fact that when they started praying for gas prices to come down, they went up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So he's saying now, even though there's not an instant solution.
But that prayer with activism will make a change.
So they go and they have regular prayer meetings at a Shell station, and they lay their hands on the pumps and they pray for God to bring down the prices.
You know, lower demand also would bring down prices, but they're all getting in their cars and driving to the Shell station.
Sure, there's that.
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure.
And if they're so powerful, why aren't they laying their hands on a hospital praying instead of a gas pump?
That's a great question.
Well,
why don't they name a price while they're at it, by the way? Why are we still paying $4? Why not $2?
That was
exactly.
Bean's
That's an excellent
Come on.
Point. It's an excellent point. Bring it down. I think what their angle was, and you heard it a little bit in that tape, was that they know that a lot of people are struggling right now to make ends meet, and that's who they're praying for. It sounds like they're praying for people to be able to get by, stretch their dollar so
right,
they can afford to buy gas.
That's not what they're saying. You're giving them a lot of credit, but they're I mean, I think that's why they're praying for gas prices to come down, because this guy is an activist and he does work at homeless shelters and stuff like that. So he's has a good, you know, I think he's doing it from a good place, but I don't know that God's going, all right, 2 cents, let's bring it down.
It's, you know what? I was going to jack it up. Seriously, it was going to be $5 by the fall, but now that I've seen this nice group of people in Maryland, I think I'm going to bring it down. It's hard for me to hate on them because I think you're right. Their heart's in the right place and they are trying to do something good, but it does bring up the question on how prayer works in your life and what you've prayed for. Because if they're praying for gas prices to go down, then you've prayed for that light to turn green. Then you've prayed for a 90 instead of an 89 on a test.
Every
then
detail.
That's right. You've prayed, hey, I'm praying the new Miley Cyrus CD is $8.99 instead of $9.99. You know, but what am I going to do?
I prayed this morning that you wouldn't bring up Miley Cyrus. Not working. All right, let's go to Danny as we start talking about things that you or your friends or your family prayed for that might have struck you a little odd. Danny, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin B. Lisa May.
Hi, Danny.
Hi. When I was a kid, I made this connection that Jesus and Santa Claus was related.
Okay.
So, Christmas and all that. So around that time, instead of sending a letter to Santa Claus, I prayed to Jesus to maybe send an email to Santa Claus. It might be, get there a little quicker. That I always pray for all the gifts I wanted.
Really?
Interesting.
But wait a minute. But you weren't praying to Jesus to get the gifts. You were asking Jesus to send an email to Santa?
Maybe it might cut, you know, get around everybody else's letters and a little quicker.
Because everybody else was, you know, putting an address on the envelope and putting a stamp on it, and then it had to go through the U.S. mail. This guy was going quick.
See, I always thought it's interesting. That's a very interesting story, Danny. I always thought that Jesus and Santa were a little bit at odds with one another. I mean, I would be pissed if I were Jesus and it was my birthday and everything was all about Santa. Like, he's like really horning in on my FaceTime. You know what I mean? Because let's face it, most of the little kids are way more interested in Santa Claus at Christmas time than they are at Jesus at Christmas time.
Jesus is not interested in FaceTime. He's got trees and toilets and sandwiches cheese and chips to show up
and
in.
Cats.
All right. Well, great story, Danny. Glad you called. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for things that are silly or memorable that you prayed for. And we want to find out how it worked out. And you can also turn in your friends, by the way.
Sure.
If you've got somebody that has prayed for stuff that you've laughed at, we want to hear about that, too. Phone lines are open, 1-800-520-1067. And we pray you'll call. We'll come right back after this on K-Rock.
This is our second week here at this Shell station. And we're pleased to announce that the prices have gone down.
Yes. We shall overcome.
Big fat opera woman, sing.
Gas prices.
See, they lowered prices, dude.
Well, then the power of prayer, man. It works. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. They're praying in Maryland for the price to go down. We're not exactly sure how prayer works, if you always have God's ear and then he responds. But we want to hear your stories of what you've prayed for. For instance, Ryan writes in, I don't know how odd this is, but back in high school, I regularly prayed that my girlfriend wouldn't be pregnant if she were late. I mean, that's maybe that's what we're talking about. I'm not sure.
I'll tell you another big one is sports. A lot of people pray for sports, like their team. That we could do our best, you know, if you're playing or if, you know, the Lakers are playing Boston, perhaps they outprayed us.
Right.
Instead of outplayed us. And so, you know, that's a huge one. People pray for sports.
I wonder how that works.
Yeah. And if you pray for one team, does that mean God takes your side and he's against the other side?
Yeah.
Because you always see athletes thank God afterwards.
Uh-huh.
And you wonder, well, what about the other team that lost?
God hates them, apparently.
God hated them.
God must hate the Lakers. Angela in Whittier, she's calling us on line 8 on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. Angela, what did you or your family pray for?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good, thank
you. Good. My mom used to make us cross ourselves when we went to the mall to find a parking spot.
To find a parking spot?
Yeah.
She would say, come on, kids, I need a spot.
She's like, cross yourselves. As we got in the driveway. Like,
really?
And we'd find a spot pretty fast. And okay. I still do it now. It's always crowded at work, and like before I like drive up, I'm like, oh, and I cross myself, and I got a spot.
Now, if you didn't pray, do you think you wouldn't find a spot?
Ever. They'd still be driving around.
I think it would take me longer to find a spot.
Really?
You really do? Or are you just saying that?
If I forget it, and we're driving around and stuff, like, oh, we didn't cross ourselves.
Okay. How does that work then? If you cross yourself, do I involuntarily get forced to my car and back up and leave?
I don't do that.
I'm saying, how does a spot become available, or are you led to find it?
Because God wants to be nice and let me get a spot so I can go shopping. Really?
But listen, are you listening to yourself?
I am.
God. So you think that God?
I don't ask for a lot. It's a nice little thing that he does to help me along my day.
Does it seem a little bit like maybe if that's your prayer for the day, that it's kind of a waste? I mean, doesn't it seem like maybe you could pray for something else if you really have that hotline to heaven?
My grandma does candles, so I'm good.
Okay, you're good. All right.
All right. Good. Thank you,
Speaking of grandma, let's go to Michelle on line 2. She's in Long Beach. She's got a grandma-related prayer. Hi, Michelle. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Okay, so my story starts when I was like 8 years old, and my sister and her best friend were 12. And at the time, my grandma was looking for a house, and she found a house that had a pool.
Right.
And so we just thought, oh, my God, it'd be the greatest thing if grandma got the house with the pool. So we decided to hold the vigil. We got the picture of Jesus and Mary, and we lit the candles, and we're down on our faces praying like, God.
What happened? Are you there?
God did not like that story.
He cut her right off.
You should not pray for a pool.
Did grandma get the house with the pool? Will we ever know?
We'll never know, because God ended the phone call.
Wow. Maybe someone out there, maybe grandma was listening and prayed for the line to go dead.
Please let her not tell that story.
1-800-520-1067 for your prayer stories. Emails are coming in, too. This one says, I always pray to Jesus. I'm a big fan all the time.
Stop it.
Yeah. Jason writes in, I've made this prayer a few times. I'd go out and get hammered, feel like I was going to die, and pray to God that if he made me feel better or even just let me live, I would never drink again. Well, I lived and usually went drinking again the next day. Who would have figured?
Yeah.
And you've made that prayer.
How dare you? Al in Anaheim. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Hey, over the weekend, I was at the horse races, and I prayed to God that I'd win. I won $580, and I seriously believe God was behind it. And as a matter of fact, I think he wants me to go back on Saturday.
Is that right? Wow. That's nice of him.
I felt it. I swear to God.
See, that's the thing, is that we don't mean to mock serious faith, but it does seem like our understanding of prayer and how things work is a little tilted sometimes.
I believe God hangs out at the racetrack, sure.
I believe it.
But Al, let me ask you this.
Does he give the horse an extra whip or something?
No,
come on, speed up!
He works in mysterious ways, guys. Al
needs $580. Let's go!
Al, why do you think God cares which horse wins at a race?
Oh, it's simple. Everyone's got problems, everyone's got bills, and with gas prices, I know he was behind it.
Right, but what about all the other people who didn't bet on your horse that lost? A lot more people lost because your horse won than won.
Well, I'm assuming they all must be sinners.
That's it.
But not you.
Not sure Al's serious. Thank you, Al. That's a great call, though. Kimmy in Granada Hills. Good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Okay, well, I'm in an EMT program right now, and one of my classmates is really super religious.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out yesterday, because I did my ride-along with an ambulance company,
right.
And they told me that this Jesus-y guy was praying for more ambulance calls on his ride-along.
So, like, you mean he was praying to be busier so that he could see more?
Right, yeah.
But doesn't that mean more people are getting hurt?
Yeah, and that means more people are sick and dying, so.
Well done.
Wow. God, please let there be a lot of death today. I really need to see some stuff.
If there could be an Amtrak derailment, that would just be heaven.
It was so bad.
That's weird.
Yeah, one of the people I was with yesterday, when they got another call, the Jesus-y guy was like, "Yes, I prayed for this." And he looked at him like,
wow.
Wow. Well, you should pray for him to fall out of the back of the EMT van is what you should do.
And then you get the call. Thank you, Kimmy. That's a little scary. Let's go to Robert in Baldwin Park. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Hello, Lisa May.
Hello, Robert.
What did you pray for?
Hey, well, check this out. Look, I go to Glendora College right here, and it's Citrus. And what I did, I went to this class. I was late, and I needed to be added on. There was 10 people that wanted to be added on, but the teacher only had 2 spots. So right then and there, you know, I needed this course. I need to get this class over with, but I can't if they're not going to add me in. So right then and there, the teacher says, I'm going to choose 2 people from this stack, from this hat, and they're going to get enrolled. Right then and there, I started praying. Just right there in class, no matter if anybody saw me, whatever. I just started praying, God, just let me have this course, and man, you know, just I'll pass it for sure. Boom, right then and there, first name.
First name.
Look at that.
So you think that God somehow guided his hand or that little piece of paper into his hand so that your name got chosen?
Yeah.
Huh. Listen to him. Of course.
Yeah.
Better not let God down, Robert.
I am not, definitely.
Yeah, you're going to fail that course.
I actually, you know what? I did end up failing it because
He failed it?
I filmed it because I, you know, it was like right after work and stuff, so I would get there late.
You are so lame.
That's a waste of a prayer. God hates you now. I don't blame him.
What? 106.7 K-Rock.
Yeah, that's a song.
It's KROQ.
Ruff, what's going to be a funnier movie this year than Pineapple Express, I ask you?
Wow.
The answer is
Ted Revisited?
No, the answer. I saw that this weekend. Not hilarious.
Of course you did.
Pineapple Express is the movie that opens tomorrow. We'll talk to 2 of the stars. They're freaks and geeks, don't you know? Seth Rogen and James Franco join us after the news at 7, talking about that. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Let's see how Morgan Freeman's doing, shall we?
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go, everybody. We're all going to Memphis.
To check on him?
Visit him at the hospital, see how he's feeling.
Is there a report that you might read to us instead?
You always want the easy way out, don't you, Kevin?
Mm-hmm.
All right, apparently he is recovering from a bad, bad car accident in Memphis, Tennessee, is where he's recovering. The actual accident happened in Mississippi. And as I always said, nothing ever good happened for a black man in Mississippi. I'll tell you that much. Apparently he was driving a 1997 Nissan Maxima, which belonged to his passenger, a 48-year-old friend of the family named Damaris Meyer. Mm-hmm. And the cops say that there was no alcohol involved. It wasn't a factor. It's just a typical accident because it happened on a dark rural road late at night. He came up on a curve he wasn't expecting, tried to correct the car, overcorrected, and ended up flipping the car.
Oh, God.
Dude.
Ms. Meyer, who, again, is a good friend of Morgan's wife, was treated for her injuries and released. And apparently Morgan is pretty banged up, but by all accounts, was talking and even joking at the scene before he was airlifted to the trauma unit. And he's a tough 71-year-old bird, and they expect him to he'll be fine. But the most important part, apparently, they were both wearing their seatbelts, and that's what saved their lives, according to the Mississippi Highway Patrol.
Kevin, if you were running things, he wouldn't be allowed to drive. He's 71. This wouldn't have happened, right?
Morgan Freeman, though, but you got to make an exception for Morgan
Freeman. Morgan Freeman, dude.
I thought you had an old person cutoff. I thought 70 was your cutoff, after which people aren't allowed to drive anymore.
No. That's a cutoff for now they have to take driving tests. And if you pass it, you pass it.
Fantastic. So he can still get a license.
Sure.
Here's the creepy part. Apparently, at the scene, passerbys were slowing naturally, as people do at an accident, inexplicably. But someone hopped out and tried to get photos of him with their cell phone.
Nice.
That's presumably really to pass on to the tabloids.
Nice.
And Morgan, even in pain after the accident, was kidding with the guy saying, dude, no freebies. No freebies. He was laughing at the fact that he has to get paid for a photo shoot.
Wow.
But I thought that was pretty creepy.
You can't photograph a black dude at night in Mississippi and expect it to show up on film anyway. Come on.
Bean at krock.com.
Bean at
krock.com. I'm just saying it'd be awfully dark. That's all.
Bean at lookatmynavel.com.
Yeah, we don't have time for that.
Matthew McConaughey says he's sorry to his neighbors in Malibu for the whole paparazzi versus the surfers riot that went on the beach due to him.
Mm-hmm.
He felt bad. He said he didn't want to be known as the guy who causes the problems in the neighborhood, so he went door to door in his Malibu handing out Starbucks gift cards.
Really?
Yes. I'm sorry about that whole thing. Here's a gift card.
How about that?
So, he's trying to make nice with the neighbors so they don't blame him for the scuffle at the beach between photographers and local surfers.
It wasn't him, even. It was surfers that were kind of standing up for him, right?
Well, the paparazzi were coming after him.
Right, right.
The surfers, more than sort of standing up for Matthew, just don't like strangers on their beaches.
Yeah.
And when they were besieged by this mass of paparazzi, they said, no, I think you go now. And a scuffle ensued.
F*** hippies. I mean, period. F*** hippies. Been saying that my whole life. Be saying it till I die. Hippies.
Does Matthew count as a hippie?
Yeah, yes. Definitely.
Does he?
Kidding?
I always thought of him more as a stoner than a hippie.
He could, he has one foot in both camps.
Is he?
I think, yeah.
Eva Longoria Parker, now that she's married, says she is vetoing a lot of the racy bras and underwear that producers want her to wear on camera on Desperate Housewives.
Oh, good.
Screw that!
Oh, good. Yeah. That's good.
Hey, let me tell you something, Eva Longoria Parker. Without the racy bras and the underwear, you ain't got much going on. No one's watching Desperate Housewives to see you act.
Yeah.
She said she's happier now because she's trying to steer her character of Gabrielle into a frumpy phase where she wears a lot of clothing.
What? Frumpy?
Screw you, lady.
How's that a good idea?
I don't care if you're married to a big-ass basketball player. Take your freaking clothes off. That's what you do.
Wow. Kind of ugly, really.
Pamela Anderson got married like 100 times. She never started wearing cover-ups.
That's
like,
true,
she's
right.
Not a bad actress.
She's got to know your place.
Pam Anderson?
That's what I'm saying. Arnold Schwarzenegger didn't get married and say, I'm not going to make action films anymore. I'm going to get fat and wear a moo-moo. Just know who you are and what you do. Get in your underwear now. Booby! Insane. Speaking of whores, Vanessa Hudgens in the news. She says she's the luckiest girl in the world.
I'll say. My God.
Whore. Yes. Because her boyfriend, Zac Efron.
Stop it.
Spoils her rotten, she says.
None of us are even buying it anymore. You can't
you see
look
him at the
Vanessa
Teen Choice
Hutchins
Awards last night
and him and say, wow, him. You can't.
Zach always surprises her with bouquets of her favorite red roses, she says.
It's like he's Christmas. Perfect. It's like Christmas every day.
It's like Valentine's Day every day.
Because he's the best person ever. That's why.
Just last night, Vanessa said, he gave me a pearl necklace.
How about that?
Yeah, how about that? Indeed.
Come on, you know you want it.
Who gets the biggest salaries on TV? Well, TV Guide's upcoming issue has a list, and it appears inexplicably.
Uh-oh.
That Charlie Sheen's the big winner for that freaking 2.5 Men show.
I like that show.
I know you do, Kevin.
Me? He's the highest paid guy on TV, though?
I like comedies, but that's just me.
You go for the laughs?
He makes $825,000 an episode.
No.
Episode.
Well, that's 4 days' work, though, Ralph.
Is that partly due to his kind of his stature as a huge star, do you think?
It's his salary as an actor, and apparently, his last deal, he negotiated part ownership in the show.
Oh, man.
Wow, that's the way to do it.
So it all works out when you add them together. It comes to $825,000 an episode.
Wow.
Now, multiply that by the 23 episodes they shoot a year.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're talking about $20 million a year.
Oh, my God.
Jackpot.
For about 6 months' work.
I don't know anyone whose opinion I value that watches that show, but it is a top 10 program. I mean, it's a big hit.
Consistently.
I know that, but come on.
Booyah!
That's a lot of dough.
William Peterson from CSI makes $600,000 an episode.
And walking away
from isn't he the one that's quitting?
He is, but he's also got an executive producer title on the show, so he'll be still making money even though he's not on the show anymore.
Oh, nice.
Which is a nice gig.
I'd like an executive producer credit on that show.
Here's the thing, though. When you're doing a CSI, you're shooting like 14 hours a day, 6 days a week. I mean, those hour-long dramas are hard work.
Right.
I mean, it's not $600,000 per hard work, but still.
Well, you remember from all your years on NYPD Blue, right, Ralph?
That's right. Yeah. All the years I was running around with Sipowicz. We used to work 14, 15-hour days. On the female side, Mariska Hargitay. On NBC's Law & Order Special Victims Unit, she makes $400,000 an episode. And Kira Sedgwick on TNT's Closer makes $275,000 per episode.
Nice.
There'll be more in the upcoming issue of TV Guide. You can check it out. And don't forget the Simpsons cast. They just got a new deal. They're making $400,000 per as well episode.
That's way less work, by the way.
That's speaking into a microphone. That's doing what we do.
Yeah, right.
But, funnier, don't get me wrong.
But somebody else writes it.
I know.
Come on.
Madness. Madness, I say. There's a lot of money to be made in show business.
Yes, yeah.
Certainly.
Is.
We should look into it. See if there's any room for us in show business. And Jackie Chan has announced his next film. He is starring in a new movie called The Spy Next Door, according to Hollywood Reporter. The Spy Next Door will star Jackie as a babysitter.
Oh, no he's not.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
He's babysitting his neighbor's children.
No, he's not.
But then one of the kids inadvertently downloads a secret code, and he has to fight off secret agents who are trying to attack the kids.
Don't trust the yellow man!
That's nothing's better than an action star who surrounds himself with precocious kids who say really adult things, and then he's got to try to deal with them and fight the bad guys.
Save the world.
A formula that's been working ever since Commando Nanny, or whatever that Hulk Hogan movie was.
That's right.
Freaking Suburban Commando.
And what was the one that, the update of that Vin Diesel just did?
Yeah, Vin Diesel did the same thing.
Same movie, remember?
It's been made hundreds of times, and it's never good.
The Pacifier, it was called.
Yes.
Is that a duck? You guys have a pet duck?
That's right.
Oh, F everyone in show business and their horrible ideas.
And Jackie Chan, how much do you think he's making for that movie? Isn't he one of those guys who gets many
over,
millions
over
to make
20
a movie?
Mil a picture, that's what he's making these days. So there you go. Today's celebrity birthdays, Maureen McCormick. She was little Marsha Brady on The Brady Bunch. Marsha. I used to...
Nope, don't want to hear it.
We know.
I used to watch The Brady Bunch.
Yep, don't want to hear it.
Don't want to hear. School.
Yep.
One hand on the TV remote. We got it.
Don't want to hear that.
Is that what the kids are calling it these days? The TV remote? She's 52 years old today. Pat Smear of the Foo Fighters is 49 years old today. Didn't Pat Smear play on the Rodney Bingenheimer smash hit, I Hate the 90s?
That might be that might be true.
I believe he did. I think he was the guitarist on that, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, moving on.
Never mind.
Tony Katane.
I'll have it in about...
Kevin moves like lightning. When he comes back from a road trip, he's really just the top of his game.
I hate the 90s.
My brain is like oatmeal.
No girl I know can pass the pencil test. Tattoos, body piercings, the whole world has lost its head. Lost its head. Lost its head.
That's a good read.
Rock Lobster.
Tony Katane is 47 years old today. Adam Yauch of the Bee.
Steve.
Boys! He's 44 years old today. Jonathan Silverman from Single Guy and other feature films is 42. And Maddox Jolie Pitt. You know what? I'm not going to do celebrity children anymore.
No.
Yeah, don't.
I don't know how Maddox makes the list of celebrity birthdays.
But celebrity parents?
They hand me this list every morning, and there it is. Maddox Jolie Pitt's on there. He's 7.
Not a celebrity.
I don't know. He's not a celebrity. He hasn't done anything either. It's 7.
Mm-mm.
He's been sitting on his ass for 7 years.
Yeah.
He hasn't made one movie, hasn't done one TV show, didn't record one CD.
Doesn't even have a job.
He's a lazy freaking bum, that Maddox. And I am right off him now. That's it. I'm done. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Two sides of the immigration coin. Today, the ICE begins a kinder, gentler, do-it-yourself deportation, offering the chance for some of those here illegally to turn themselves in and have 90 days to deal with either keeping their families here or taking them back to wherever they came from. It's starting in Santa Ana and San Diego, among other locations. Reaction from some, do you really expect them to go along? Meanwhile, the L.A. City Council is about to require big box and home stores to set up shelters to organize the people who are there anyway looking for day labor. The governor's people have floated a sales tax hike a penny more for a couple of years, insisting it's just temporary to get them out of the $15 billion budget shortfall. A lot of verbal juggling to explain that he hasn't broken his word on no new taxes. Lemurs, monkeys, apes, and men are all primates, and we're squeezing out our cousins, over half the species endangered.
There's over 300 species having problems. You know, they're threatened with extinction. We've got to do something about them.
Good news, an increase in the population of mountain gorillas.
Some species are down to like 200 in the wild. Now, they can recover from that.
Angels beat Baltimore. 70s at the beach, upper 90s in the valleys. 67 at K-Rock. I'm Doc.
Tomorrow's a big day. For some reason, on a Wednesday, the movie Pineapple Express is opening. I guess the demand is so great, Kevin, that we can't wait till Friday.
That's correct.
Some sort of nationwide revolt. We have to get it in theaters early. And we're very happy to welcome back to the program our old friend Seth Rogen and James Franco from the film Pineapple Express, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, boys, how are you?
I think it's just because we assume that no one who wants to see this movie has a job.
That's possible. It's possible. They don't have actual work hours.
They can just go, yeah.
If there's ever been a movie made that's right up the audience for K-Rock, the Pineapple Express is the one, you guys.
Well, I appreciate that. There's a lot of conversations about that in the writing of the movie.
About who's going to be
about
the...
K-Rock. Just about how can we get K-Rock listeners to go see this.
Wow, that seems incredibly specific.
It was an odd choice, but we went for it.
I'm going to ask a really dumb question, so don't mock me too hard to start with this. But there are super weeds. I mean, there are some tremendous strains of bud. We've all heard about what the great product that comes out of Vancouver, B.C., for instance. But there's no such thing as a real Pineapple Express. That's something you guys made up for the movie, right?
It is something that we made up for the movie. The Pineapple Express is a weather system. That much is true. We describe it in the movie somewhat accurately. But, you know, we needed a name for the weed that kind of is the catalyst for the plot in the movie. And we just thought, you know, Pineapple Express sounds like a stupid name. A drug dealer would give a weed for no reason at all. And, you know, Bubba Kush was taken. So, yeah, let's call it that.
And James, so you're the stoner hero of the film, right?
Stoner hero.
That's it. One of many.
That's how I like to be known.
Now, Seth, your character Dale witnesses a murder.
Yes.
And then you come running back. I have a clip of you talking to James Franco's character Saul.
Okay.
Trying desperately to explain what just happened to you.
He killed him!
Who killed who?
A cop!
A lady and a guy!
A cop, a lady and a guy, man, that's like a massacre. You saw it?
No, it was just a guy!
What happened to the lady?
No! A woman! A police woman and a guy, another guy shot another guy, an Asian guy, in the window.
Was the other guy dead?
I don't know. He's a big. I'm gonna throw up.
So confused.
Sounds like there may be confusion. Now, is it true what we heard that originally there was talk of you guys playing each other's character and somehow it got swapped?
Seth wrote this script years ago, and surprisingly, nobody wanted to make an action stoner comedy.
Yeah, no, and there was very little precedent for the weed action genre.
And then years later, they came to me and said, you know, let's make a movie together. And I guess I just assumed they wanted me to play his part. I don't know. I don't know why. And I said, well, I think the script's really funny, but I want to play Seth's role, and I guess they'd already come to that decision, thanks.
We had been talking about it. I was resistant because we wrote the role for me for many years. I was really attached to it emotionally, but I couldn't deny that Franco, it was just a more interesting idea, you know, with Franco doing it.
Now, you wrote this years ago before any of your success, and no one cared.
No one gave a crap, sir.
And then...
Yeah.
And then you turned it into them now, kind of pretty much the same. You didn't spice it up much or anything. You just said,
and all of a sudden it's gold.
How about that?
Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, it's we always sit down and write these movies, and we think, you know, like, this will be the easiest movie to sell in the entire
right.
world. And then we send them out, and we realize that they're the weirdest movies anyone's ever written, and no one wants anything to do with making them. We always think they're good, you know, and I honestly watch it, and I love it. So I think you just kind of have to gain people's faith a little bit
sure.
in order to let them, you know, let you do something as weird as a weed action comedy.
Weed action is a strange is a strange genre.
It is a strange, and we're trying to think of what other drugs we can throw into the action comedy. Like if we can do like a heroin action comedy, or like a an uppers, just like a horse tranquilizer action comedy. Yeah. I think that would be funny.
That would be good, yeah.
Yeah.
We have Seth Rogen and James Franco on the phone. We're talking about Pineapple Express that opens up everywhere tomorrow. How foolish must some people in Hollywood feel for not appreciating Freaks and Geeks at the time it was on and canceling the damn thing with guys like you and, you know, Judd associated with it, and to see what has happened to all of you from that show now? I mean, they couldn't afford to put you guys on a TV show now.
No, they couldn't at all. It would be way too expensive, just for me.
Sure, you alone.
Yeah, it's. Do you remember the guy's name who was the head of NBC when Freaks and Geeks? Was it Garth Ensier? Was that him?
Yes, yes.
So
yes,
we
yes.
even know the guy. If
How
you're
about
out
that?
There listening, you're an idiot.
Do you guys, when you're making a big budget Hollywood movie like this, do you look at each other and just laugh and think back to the days where you were toiling away on the Freaks and Geeks and go, wow, who would have ever thought that here we'd be all these years later doing this?
We literally say those.
We say, I can't believe that Seth Rogen I knew back then is on the cover of GQ.
Wait a minute.
He was a gentleman.
Wait a minute. Seth is on the cover of GQ?
Yeah.
You guys don't hit up your newsstand.
What?
Apparently, yeah. I am. And you,
obviously,
you probably
not gentlemen.
You probably saw it and assumed it was like a novelty cover that someone had boxed up. But, no, that was real. That's
How about that?
Yeah. It's weird. Yeah, it's really strange and surreal, but it's great, you know? I mean, it's nice that all these years later we have a chance to make a strange weed movie. Yeah.
And I think it's so cool that you guys were actual friends back then and have continued to be actual friends and still work together. I mean, it really is. It's such a cool fraternity. And, you know, there are so many of you. And, you know, it seems like every time a new movie comes out, like with Superbad, for instance, you know, you get some new breakout stars. And I understand Danny McBride is just stealing this movie and we're going to be seeing more from him. I mean, it's you guys surround yourself with some very funny people.
Yeah, you know, that's the key, is to get funny people to make you look good.
That way you don't have to make yourself look good.
Exactly.
Well, James Franco, Seth Rogen, this looks like right up our alley. Like Bean was saying earlier, this looks like a fantastic movie. It's Pineapple Express, and it is in theaters tomorrow, Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Hey, thanks, boys. We appreciate talking to you.
Thanks for having
All right, thanks.
Thank you. A young man named Dwan is holding for us.
Yeah.
Hey, Dwan, good morning.
What's up, Kevin and Beam and Lisa?
How's it going? Good. What's going on with you, man?
I finally got a new job because I quit the movie theater because I've been working there 7 years.
I know you've been saying that you wanted to quit. You wanted to get a new job. You finally pulled the trigger, huh?
Yep.
Wow.
Oh, I hope it's at In-N-Out, Dwan.
Nope. Hometown Buffet.
Hometown Buffet.
Next that's best thing. Good.
Now, tell us about that place, Dwan.
I love that place. I have good food, good customer service, good employees there.
Sure.
I respect all of them.
Wow.
Well, yeah.
That's huge.
And are you cooking, or what are you doing there, Dwan?
Right now,
he's
I'm
the head chef.
Stocking some trays, plates, napkins, mm-hmm. and stock some drinks, ice, and that's it.
Do you have to wear a Hometown Buffet costume outfit?
Nope, uniform, apron.
Uniform and apron.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yep. And have you already started then, Dwan?
Yep, since Monday.
Okay, and have you been meeting a lot of women?
A few of them, yeah. They're awesome.
Women are awesome.
Women are the best, that's true.
And this is probably for the ladies at UCLA. Because I love UCLA Bruins.
You do love the Bruins. Okay. Go Bruins.
Is
this Hometown Buffet anywhere near UCLA, Dwan?
Nope. It's far away from there. It's in Hartdarn.
Okay. Do you have to wear a hairnet?
A hat.
A hat.
Okay.
Do you get a chance to swap out the soups?
Nope.
You should do that today, whether they
the
tell you to or not.
You get a chance to swap out the soups.
Put and a fresh I soup cannot in there. Tell you anything else about this.
You can't
tell us?
It's top secret?
Private.
Oh, it's private.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, what are they do over there?
Are there a lot of secrets about the Hometown Buffet that we would be surprised to hear about, Dwan?
Cannot tell you.
Wow.
Ooh, okay. Playing it close to the vest.
All right. Hey, Dwan, today when you go in, I would like you just to say to one person, don't you think you've had enough? Just try it. It'd be fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Say, hey, fatty, just one trip through for you. Or not,
yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
My UCLA homies, you're the best. And Bruins rule, I love that team.
All right, then.
Okay, go very Bruins. Timely. Thank you, Duane. Congratulations on your new job. Maybe we'll come see you sometime for lunch or something.
All right, cool.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Bye now. You saw the Rage this weekend at Lollapalooza.
So good.
Talk either from the stage or at the show about anything new from the band, or are they going to turn into an oldies act?
I don't know. How dare you suggest they're an oldies act?
Well, think about it. I mean, they haven't had a record out in, 5 years or something? I'm just saying.
I know it's been a while. But no, there was no talk about that. It's weird. I ran into
it seems like they've been together long enough now that it's solid. I mean, it's working. They're obviously able to stand each other. That's what makes me wonder if maybe somebody's going to bring it up at some point.
I ran into Tim, their bass player, and he said this is a while back, maybe right after Coachella or whatever, and he said he has not much talk about that.
Maybe they don't want to jinx the magic right now.
I sure wish they would. Though. That'd be great.
Well, you should be praying about it, Kevin.
Yes, I should.
It's 7:38 on the Kevin and Bean Show. We were talking yesterday. In fact, this is not a topic that just came up. We've been talking for several months now. Why they keep letting Miley Cyrus have a camera? Because clearly at 15, she's finding herself in photographs that she would prefer not be plastered all over the internet.
Well, there's her in the shower, and there's her in a bikini, and it's not just like... looking like a 15-year-old kid. It's like seductive.
Maybe it's not her that would prefer they not be plastered. Maybe she really is. You know, sometimes you hit that age and you want to be an adult.
Thought of
and,
as older,
It's Disney that really doesn't want these pictures all over.
Could be.
But, I mean, you could argue that some of these photos are just girls clowning around and there's nothing to them. But some people look at them and they go, well, she's clearly trying to be a woman here. She's clearly trying to be seductive and she's making the pouty sex face and stuff like that. And some of these pictures, are a little bit racy. But we thought, let's find out what the real deal is. Let's get inside the Cyrus house. And I believe we have her dad. I think we have country legend Billy Ray Cyrus on the phone with us right now here on Kara. Good morning, Billy Ray.
Howdy, Kevin and Bean. How you doing?
We were looking for Billy Ray Cyrus, the quiet, soft-spoken man from Nashville Star.
That's me. How you feeling?
Well, that's a horse right there. Wow.
Hey, by the way, we just named ourselves a new Nashville Star. Congratulations to that person.
You don't know who it is?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, Billy Ray, although things are going great for you, we're really having you on to talk about your daughter, Miley. Now, what's...
Miley Cyrus! Right. She's stinking rich!
She is, yeah.
She's very rich. I understand she made $25 million last year, Miley Cyrus,
that's
by the way.
Right! Cowboy, like us now.
And who's in charge of that $25 million?
God damn right I am.
Yeah.
That is a lot of mother-loving belt buckles right there.
What are you shooting at and whipping?
I don't care.
Okay.
I can shoot anything I'm rich. I now, got a daughter that makes me a lot of money.
She makes a lot of money. Now, Billy Ray, I know that she's very popular and the backlash hasn't hurt her that much yet. She's still got the Hannah Montana. She hosted the Teen Choice Awards last night.
Yes, she did. How good did she look last night at Teen Choice Awards? Don't it just make you all kind of sexy, feeling old? She kind of sexy?
I don't,
No.
She's 15.
Good boy, Matthias. Good boy.
She's 15.
What's that?
She's 15.
She's 15.
I know, but she'll be 18 soon enough. The mystery will be gone. Nobody will be interested then.
Oh, I see.
But now Billy Ray, you. Now you're interested. Now you're all looking in, aren't you?
Billy Ray, I think most of us are uncomfortable with how sexual she is at 15, and we wish she'd dial it back, maybe act a little bit more her age is what we're suggesting.
Listen, my little girl is just a burgeoning woman. Her burgeoning sexuality is just spilling out all over the place.
But isn't that not good at 15 years old?
You can't put a cap on a volcano, son. You can't keep the horse in the barn once the door is open.
You're her dad. You should be trying to do that.
More importantly, though, young lady, I am her manager.
Oh,
I see.
And secondly, more important, I am the man who runs the bank account.
Yeah.
I see. I got you.
Oh, my Lord, are we rich?
But wait a minute.
Very wealthy.
That's more important than her being your daughter?
Whatever. I can always have more children. I can't always make $25 million in one single year.
Yeah.
That is true. Now, Billy Ray, let me ask you about this, because you were one of the outspoken critics against that Annie Leibovitz photo shoot. There was the big brouhaha over her wearing a sheet, right?
Oh, I had no idea they were going to strip her down and put her in a sheet. I had no idea. Wink, wink, wink.
Right. So, but then that bothers you. You're making a big production about that. But then every week there's new pictures of her in the shower, in the bed, in a bikini on the internet. I mean.
Yeah, it's titillating, isn't it?
Stop it.
It's interesting, isn't it? Keeps you involved, don't it? Keeps you all sucked in, don't it?
Okay, this is a little uncomfortable.
I'm a freaking genius.
Yeah.
Don't you tell this backwater boy I ain't smart. Because I know nobody gives a damn about an 18-year-old taking her clothes off, but a 15-year-old, ooh, okay, that's some country loving right there.
All right. Well, I think that's enough
my
from here.
My daughter made $54 million on tour this year.
Yeah, she's popular. I'm not saying she's not. I'm
Do
just saying.
Do you have any idea how many Pabst Blue Ribbons that buys?
Nope.
I don't either, but it is a ton of Pabst Blue Ribbons. Okay. I haven't had this coach fun since I recorded my famous song, Ain't Can Break Your Heart. You remember Ain't Can Break Your Heart?
I do. I despise that with everything in me.
Well, then you're going to love the sequel.
What?
I'm releasing a new song. All this money's got me thinking creatively again.
Okay.
Here's my new song. It's all about my little gravy train, Miley.
Uh-oh.
My daughter's boobs are itty bitty boobs.
Oh, stop.
Go
it.
On the net and take a look.
Come on.
She's a little tease. Be buying her CDs, then run out and buy her book.
Wow.
God damn it, she's rich.
Wow.
Oh, I love having money.
Oh.
That's right.
All right.
Matthias, are you right? Good boy, Matthias.
What's the horse's name?
Matthias.
All right, Billy Ray.
All right.
Thanks for tooting. Hello?
Hey, rootin' tootin'. Bye-bye now.
Okay, bye. Nadia Rivas from West Covina, by the way. That's a lot of V's. Just won the tickets for Foo Fighters coming up in Pomona at the end of October. Details at KROQ.com. She's also eligible to win a brand new 2008 Harley motorcycle and ride it with the band. Grand prize during Friday morning right here on KROQ. Ralph joins us now at 7:52. What's going on, Argar?
That's too many V's.
A lot of V's.
V isn't my favorite letter. What's your favorite letter?
Look at my belly button.
Oh, you got to do that tomorrow. Got to do that.
All right.
Even big stars get nervous. They're just like us.
Are they?
Yes.
They?
Apparently, Keira Knightley has a simple way to prepare for her high-profile roles when she has to audition. She gets very nervous. She gets loaded.
Does she really?
Wow, yes. She is just like us.
Apparently. She got extremely nervous after finding out she'd have to audition for her part in the big-screen remake of My Fair Lady, famous musical My Fair Lady.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. She had to audition for theater producer Cameron McIntosh for the role. So, in her opinion, her only option was to get raging drunk.
I like
it. Okay. She says she probably slurred her words, can't really remember auditioning, but she did get the gig.
Yeah.
So, guess that's all that matters.
Wow.
Welcome to my life.
Wouldn't it be lovely? That's what the song
is.
That's how Hoff got his role on The Producers on Broadway. Al Pacino is an artist in his spare time. The New York Post says recently he was seen in Beverly Hills at one of those paint-your-own pottery places. Oh, Al.
Really?
Yeah, Al just puttering around, making his own his own big platter, painting it.
It seems odd.
Putting roses and things on it, putting it in the kiln.
If it'll stop him from making a sequel to 88 Minutes, then
hey,
paint
hey,
on.
Hey, hey, you.
I'm just saying.
You know what we got coming out? Righteous Kill.
Yes, that's going to be awesome.
Al Pacino, Robert De Niro.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Playing police partners, by the way. Both of them well past the age I think most police departments make you retire. But still, I'm looking forward to seeing them in that movie.
And they're really good friends in real life, right, Ralph?
Yes, they are. They are two Italian-American acting legends.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen them together much. Heat. They're together for like 4 minutes in Heat.
Yeah.
That one scene at the coffee shop when they're talking to each other. Of course, famously, they starred as father and son in Godfather 2, with De Niro being Vito Corleone in flashback. But this will be the first time they really share the screen for a whole film. So
it's awesome.
For no other reason than that, you should go see it.
Yeah, he's checking them off. Ralph Garman did a movie with him.
Well,
now
that was
De Niro.
You can tell how he works down the list. Priorities, you know. He wanted to work with the greats before he got to De Niro. Gillian Anderson says that filming the new X-Files movie was a scary experience for her, let alone the audience. They shot a lot of the film in an actual insane asylum.
Oh, good.
Ooh.
It was half abandoned, so they were shooting in that part, but it was still a working institution. She said she had to show up to work every day in a place that obviously was creepy, being surrounded by, as she puts it, miles and miles of institution and insanity.
Wow. Cool. Yeah.
That's got to add to the vibe of the set a little bit when you're playing, making a creepy X-Files
movie. Was it the hospital part?
I think it was the hospital part, yeah.
That's a lot
of it. The two-headed dog. Oops. Yeah. Hope I didn't ruin anything for anybody. And Jerry O'Connell says now that his wife, Rebecca Romijn, is pregnant. He has become a personal errand boy, pretty much. He says his wife craves lots of ice cream these days, particularly Ben and Jerry's. So he has to make runs all the time to go out there and get her ice cream. But don't you pretty much, whatever she wants, you just go out and
absolutely
get it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Rebecca Romijn?
Yeah. Whether she's pregnant or not, by the way.
The couple are expecting twins, by the way, and he says double births are common in his family. And he's already got two sets of twins from his father's side in Ireland. So a lot of twins run through the O'Connell family. Of course, being Irish, a lot of times you think you have twins when the baby comes out, but you're just really, really drunk and you're seeing double. So a lot of Irish fathers believe they have twins.
Sure.
And when they're around 21, when they sober up, they realize, I just have the one child. Ashley Simpson and Pete Wentz in the news.
They were at the Lollapalooza, by the way.
Oh, really?
Chicago. Why? They had
no
business
wandering
being
around
there.
Backstage. I don't know.
It's like when Ashley Simpson shows up at Acoustic Christmas or something like that, when you see some of these people backstage. Like, get away from music. Go back to whatever it is that you do, whatever you're putting down on CD these days. But stay away from real music, will you? The two of them have decided they're going to take their baby out on the road.
Good time.
Yes.
Pete tells In Touch magazine that he's going to do it because he thinks, in his words, it would be cool.
That's bullshit.
They're raising a child.
Yeah.
Hey, honey.
Yeah.
Remember that thing that came out of your vagina? Let's carry it with us everywhere we go. That would be cool. Okay. It's my Ashley Simpson.
It's going to last for about a day.
It just seems like a bad idea.
Not
for
as
child.
Cool as we thought. Take her back home.
I see parents having to leave the house to go to the park. And they've got 14 cribs and a diaper bag and three strollers and a whoopee and a banky. It just seems like a bad idea. Don't you agree?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Anyone? Is
yes.
anyone
yes.
here?
We are here and we agree.
Shia LaBeouf's DUI accident is one of the biggest showbiz stories recently, but almost as interesting is what flew out of his truck during the crash. According to gossip columnist Janet Charlton, reports were found at the scene, the actor's gym bag, some pizza, and several brand new toilet seats.
Well, sure.
After all that pizza, you mean?
He takes toilet seats with him?
Just in case. Anything becomes a toilet if you got a toilet seat underneath.
I guess so.
Who is it? Is it Mariah Carey that travels with toilet seats because she won't use one that has been used previously? Mm-hmm. They have to
she
install
has them
a new one.
Installed in her hotel rooms.
For God's sakes.
But apparently, Shia's seats are not for using; they're for painting. He's got a hobby where he artistically paints toilet seat covers and then sells them.
Wow, that's kind of unique.
Interesting artwork.
Uh-huh. Isn't that what artistic type of people that aren't successful do?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's just keeping his hand in case this whole acting thing goes south. He's still got a...
keeping his hand in the toilet?
He's still got a craft that he can fall back on.
Paints with his right hand, I'm hoping.
I don't even know what that
paints with
means.
Because
his right
he hand.
Hurt his left hand.
Didn't he crush his left hand?
Ah.
Saying it might be a little more difficult to use now.
I see.
And I heard you guys talking to Billy Ray Cyrus. Yeah. Miley Cyrus's dad.
That was odd,
it was
wasn't
a surprising
it?
Interview.
Surprising interview. Apparently, Miley's unhappy these days.
Uh-oh.
Nick Jonas, her ex-boyfriend, is, according to In Touch, currently dating her arch-rival, Selena Gomez.
Oh, that's an upgrade, by the way.
Nick and Selena apparently going at it these days. She, of course, the star of Wizards of Waverly Place.
What?
of course she is. Big Disney show, Bean says. Have you seen it, Bean? Have you watched Wizards of Waverly Place?
I've watched it a little bit, but I mean, I don't love it. It's not for me.
No? You don't think it's for you?
It's
really?
Not for you.
Really? It's not for old creepy dudes who live in barns?
Why would you go?
You're right. Maybe it's for children.
Why would you ever go to Disney Channel? Ever. Ever. Once. Ever.
I like to stay current with what's popular.
With 8-year-olds?
I like to check out things that you hear about.
So you can have conversations online so you know what to troll with. So when Chris Hansen comes busting in. So, you enjoy Wizards of Waverly Place, I understand.
Look, it's just something I checked out. That's all.
Stop it.
Oh.
That's Selena Gomez, though, by the way.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
I didn't want to really explain why I checked it out, but I'm just saying. Mm.
They were standing side by side on stage at the Teen Choice Awards because Miley was host.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And she shouldn't stand next to her.
Really?
That's my point exactly. Nick, that's why it's an upgrade for Nick Jonas. That's what I'm saying.
At 15, Miley is not aging well.
Really?
She looks like a 40-year-old woman.
Yeah, she does. To her
in her life. No.
She's. I can see why Billy Ray wants to make all the money he can right now.
She was on my lap. She was like singing on my lap.
Oh, what? Okay. All right. Today's celebrity birthdays: Jonathan Silverman from The Single Guy and from Weekend at Bernie's, and Weekend at Bernie's too.
Yes.
Don't forget that. Is 42 years old today. Adam Yauch of the Beastie Boys is 44 years old. Tony Katane.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Is 47, and I'd still. In a heartbeat.
Wreck that Coke.
Right on the top of the hood of a car like a Whitesnake video.
Yep.
Speaking of Whitesnakes. Pat Smear of Foo Fighters.
Wait, how old is Tawny?
She's 47.
She looks amazing. She also looks 2 years younger than Miley Cyrus, too, which is remarkable.
Oddly enough.
Yeah. Pat Smear of Foo Fighters is 49 years old today. And by the way, I have to correct myself. I thought in a moment of drunken insanity. That Pat Smear was one of the guitarists on the Rodney Bingenheimer song, I Hate the 90s.
Right.
It was Pat Fear.
Yes, it was.
Who played bass, I believe, on that track. Okay. So I stand corrected. Pat Smear, when Rodney was recording music, I believe, was in fourth grade.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken. And Maureen McCormick, the Brady Bunch's Marsha, turns 52 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So, how's that Manny Ramirez working out for you and the Dodgers, Mike?
So far, so good.
Pretty goddamn well.
What is he?
What is he hitting?
8 for 13 or something?
Yeah,
that's not
like
bad.
670 since he's come to the Dodgers with 2 homers, about 8 RBIs. Awesome.
Here's what's fascinating, by the way, and I know that there are a lot of people listening who are maybe not sports fans, and maybe some of you are sports fans and are not baseball fans, Kevin. But here's what's fascinating: is Manny Ramirez is one of the premier players of the game. I mean, he's a superstar. He's almost as big as it gets. Okay.
Right.
Yet when he made it clear to the world that he wanted to leave the Red Sox, with whom he has won 2 world champions, by the way, championships, nobody wanted him. He was shopped around to every single team, and every single team said, Manny Ramirez, that guy's great. We don't want him.
Why? I don't understand that.
Well, 2 reasons. One is he's hella expensive. He's making $20 million a year, for starters. And 2 is he's challenging. He's
What does
be
that
difficult.
Mean, challenging?
He is not I'm going to show up every day, chomping at the bit to play as hard as I can for you, boss. He's not that guy so much as he's, if he feels like turning it on, he can really help you out. If he doesn't maybe feel like running for a foul ball, you know, or to make a catch, or running for a fair ball to make a catch for that matter, like Saturday night when a guy turned a single into a triple, maybe he'll do that too. You can't tell with Manny.
Here's a statement of him talking about how much he likes being in L.A.
L.A. is a great city, and I'm proud, you know, to be a Dodger. And let me tell you a story, man. When I was like 8 years old, my grandmother, she always come to the States and stuff like that. And my first uniform that I wear was a Dodger, number 30. So it's like a dream come true, you know. I'm here in the Dodgers. Like I say, I'm going to try my best to help the team in any way I can.
Why is he wearing number 99, Mike? Do we know?
Because he's Manny Ramirez. I was talking about that with Lisa yesterday. I said, that's just so him. He's just bonkers. Who wears 99?
Some people say that he is a goofy version of Barry Bonds. In other words, that he's talented but troubled. Huh. And I don't think most Dodger fans will care about any of that if he does what the intended effect is, which is to get him deep into the playoffs. I think that they'll say it was a good move. Probably won't have him next year. Probably won't be a Dodger next year. I can't imagine the Dodgers are going to want to pay. You know, I mean, you see what happens when they pay big, like with Andrew Jones. I mean, it doesn't always come back to, you know, to serve you well. But if Manny gets him, you know, if Manny makes it happen in the second half of the season, people will be pleased with the trade.
And that's why he says that here's what's weird. He, for a while, he was super happy in Boston, right?
Yeah, I think so.
He was like, yeah. Oh, hey, this is the best place. And then he turned on it and said, now I'm unhappy. I want to be traded. But now he's saying he wants to retire with the Dodgers. He thinks they brought him out here so they can so he can play the rest of his life out here. But his deal is up after this year in 2 months.
That's right.
And then he's going to ask for $20 million?
That's right. What soured him on the Red Sox, Mike?
One can only wonder. I mean, like I was telling Kevin, it has to be something deep in management that we're just not knowing about. I mean, because, yes, he's definitely been a thorn in their hip. But when, for a guy to get to this point for a team that's constantly fighting for World Series championships to just say that I don't want to be here anymore, something really serious had to go on behind closed doors. And right. I guess we just don't know.
Because most players will put up with anything if they could win World Series.
Yeah, no right. kidding.
Or right. NBA titles or whatever it is.
Why would you ever leave?
That seems bizarre. And not only that, but didn't Boston have to pay $7 million to get rid of him?
Well, they're paying the rest of his salary this year, right?
Right, yeah. And I mean, this,
that seems bad.
For the Dodgers, this is really a win-win because they gave up practically nothing and they get Manny Ramirez. And even if he is just a rent-a-player for the next 2 months, so what? He's created a major amount of excitement around the Dodgers, a team that was, you know, probably not that exciting to begin with. And he's created an offense for them. They're now actually a threatening lineup.
Well, the Dodgers were a good team, and they, you know, there was a good chance they were going to make the playoffs anyway. But you're right, Manny brings buzz. I mean, from the time the announcement was made until the next game that he debuted, they sold like 15,000 tickets. I mean, everybody wants to see this guy play, and it's been a while since there's been a player like that at Dodger Stadium that people are going out of their way to watch.
This is hands down the most dangerous offensive lineup I've seen on the Dodgers in a long time, and this is without Garcia Parra and Furcal in the lineup. So, I mean, they can really do some things now.
Here's another news clip about him in Boston.
Cost the Red Sox $7 million, Craig Hanson and Brandon Moss, just to be able to trade Manny Ramirez for Jason Bay. It was the only way they could get him out of town.
Yes.
Wow.
That sounds
Let's get
good.
That guy out of town who helped us win those World Series titles.
And here,
let's get rid of that dude.
Here are a couple of Boston fans.
I thought he was a good slugger, but his attitude in the clubhouse wasn't the best.
Manny has, for a number of years now, been very disgruntled at times, and he's wishy-washy. First, he's happy, he wants to be a Red Sox for the rest of his career, and then he'll turn around, and he's not happy.
Wish they could have put the microphone closer to her and less in the crowd.
I wish he'd get a haircut is what I wish.
Here's the thing about that, though, is that, you know, Kobe, before the Lakers season, was demanding to be traded. But yes. When the season came around, he steps on the court and he plays. He'll score 36 points and get 12 rebounds, whatever. He doesn't slack off because he's not happy.
Right.
That doesn't worry. I guess if it didn't cost the Dodgers anything, I guess that's why.
Well, and as much trouble as this has caused the Red Sox, the bottom line is this, if this was 4 years ago, this would never have happened. Because if this was the Manny of 150 RBIs and 50 home runs,
right,
they would have put up with anything to keep him around. This is still a great, great offensive player, but he's a 100 RBI, 30 home run guy now.
Which is still outstanding.
Look, he's still an all-star. He's still, you know, putting up Hall of Fame numbers. But like I said, you put up with a lot more, just like actors. I mean, they'll put up with a lot of bad behavior on a set if you're bringing in huge box office, but as soon as it starts to slide, then you start to see that, you know, people start to worry.
Do you think Dodgers
make
will,
love to my buttocks, Manny?
Oh, I don't know that we need that.
Do you think the Dodgers will re-sign him?
I don't know. One,
if he plays well, do you think they will?
I don't think they'll re-sign him for $20 million.
You know.
I think if Manny and his agent can realize that he's not the Manny of four seasons ago, then and start asking for some more reasonable money, I think they might, though. Because, the like I said, the fanfare and the excitement around the Dodgers right now is just through the roof.
It is. Let's take a couple of calls, by the way, on Manny Ramirez. If you're a Dodger fan, you have thoughts for or against. If you're happy he's here or if you think the Dodgers are going to regret this, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Peter in Burbank. He's on line three. Hi, Peter. Thanks for calling into the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you say about Manny?
Hey, guys. Hey, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May, everybody.
Hi.
I'm from Boston, so I miss him, but keeping up with him, it's just futile. It's like trying to manage somebody like J-Lo. It's just... He wants to be there. He didn't want to be there. He wanted to be there. It's just, I mean, it's unbelievable when he turns
it
on.
It's too frustrating as a fan of the team. It's too frustrating to see what the hoops he makes everybody else jump through is what you're saying.
Right. And there's a theory in Boston, and this is pretty widely known in Boston, is that, you know, he kept saying in L.A., I want to find my peace.
Right.
I want to find my peace. Well, you know, he's married. And I think that the rumor in Boston is that, or the scuttlebutt in Boston is that, he's got some woman up in the Ritz-Carlton in Boston that his wife wants to leave, and he didn't want to leave. And his wife was always on top of him about, oh, you got to leave, you got to leave. And I don't know if that's true or not, but whatever. Mm. I mean, I don't know what kind of piece you're going to find in L.A.
Oh, you can find a piece if you're a baseball player. Yeah, you can find a piece.
Nice pieces out here. All right, thank you, Peter.
So is Peter is happy that he's here or not happy that he's here? I couldn't tell. Or is it mixed review from you, Peter?
I'm sad that he left But, you know, in the end, I understand why Boston management had to get rid of him. Because they're about to go into the pennant race, and they don't know if they can count on him. And, I mean, how can you take a guy that can just smash balls out of the park and not wonder if he's just going to sit out? I mean, you look at that series with the Yankees that the Red Sox just had, and the reason that he sat out and said he had a knee injury was because he couldn't hit against two of these pitchers. So the Red Sox went out, they took an MRI of him, and there was nothing wrong with his knee. And they just said, you know what, we're kind of sick of this.
Wow. All right. So, thank you, Peter.
Great point. Thank you for the call. I mean, it is telling that nobody else was working hard to get Manny Ramirez. You think a guy like that becomes available, everybody wants him. But as Mike pointed out, I mean, the Dodgers had nothing to lose by the way this thing was structured. Yeah. So, you know, good on them.
All right. We got a bunch of more calls. 1-800-520-1067. We will talk to you.
Right now, we're talking about the newest Dodger, Manny Ramirez.
Make love to my buttocks, Manny.
Here's one report. Reports out of Boston and the Red Sox clubhouse say it became a better place with the subtraction of Ramirez last week, leading some to wonder if he would negatively affect the Los Angeles clubhouse. Well, so far, that hasn't been the case, but not everybody is as excited about Manny Ramirez coming to the Dodgers as some people are. Rachel is in Woodland Hills. She's on line six, although sounds like she might be a girl, so let's take this opinion with a grain of salt.
Oh, come on.
Hey, Rachel. Hey, Rachel.
Hi. First of all, girls can like baseball, too.
Of course. Hey, are you talking on your wireless thing?
No, I actually have a phone down my boobs on speakerphone.
Excellent.
Okay. That's what I'm talking about.
Right, it's even better.
All right, Rachel, what do you say?
I just think that now we have five outfielders on the Dodgers, and we gave away our third baseman, our future third baseman, and we don't have a third baseman anymore. So what are we going to do at the end of the season when our two-month rental is out and we have a huge hole at third base?
They signed Casey Blake, and he's been phenomenal.
Like, come on, Casey Blake. Who the hell is he?
Oh, right, because we gave up the all-star Adam LaRoche. I mean, what are you talking about? We're fine.
This is going to be good. I like Adam LaRoche. Okay? He was a cute kid.
I know it's tough sometimes because this happens to me too, where you get a young player that you think is going to have a lot of promise and you hate to see them go. Yeah, you get attached to him. I understand what you're feeling. But don't you think it's worth it, though, if you get a guy like Manny and he gets you maybe to the World Series for the first time in 20 years?
Well, I'm excited for that too. The last time they won the World Series, I was like 3 months old. But,
are you worried about next year at third base?
Yeah, I'm worried about next year. What's going to happen in the future?
You're a visionary.
I go to school in Boston, and all my friends at school are calling me laughing, like, haha, you guys got Manny. Good luck with him. Like, that's what they keep saying.
Well, you need to call him back and go, turns out he's batting 615 or whatever it is.
Yeah,
I don't know.
For now, that's what they all say. They're like, yeah, wait a couple months, see what happens later.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Wait till he wakes up and has a bad day and realizes he doesn't want to be here either.
Exactly.
That's what you got to be concerned
that's
about.
What they keep saying.
Yeah. Like, thank you.
Wait. Yep. Bye.
Thank you, Rachel. We appreciate the call. They talked to Derek Lowe, by the way, who played with Manny back on the Boston team, and they asked him about his reputation, and here's what Derek Lowe said. He's one of the easiest guys that I've ever known to get along with. He's a superstar player, but he acts like he's 12. If you can't get along with Manny, then shame on you.
How do you like that? Let's go to Doug in Eagle Rock. Good morning, Doug. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Lisa May.
Good morning.
Hey, I was fortunate enough to be one of those 30,000 people to get a ticket for the second night game when he hit his first home run.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the atmosphere was just, you know, electric. People were running around already with Manny Ramirez dreadlock wigs and just his whole personality out in the outfield. It was like he was comfortable. He was laughing. I mean, we've got Joe Torre as our, you know, as our manager who can handle pretty much anything coming out of New York with media, you know, related issues.
Right.
So, I mean, we didn't pay anything for him. We gave up Andy LaRoche. Like, you know, Mike said, we got Casey Blake, who the same night has already hit a home run. And that's something that's been majorly lacking from our Dodger squad. And I'm so glad to have him on.
So you couldn't be happier. Fantastic.
All right. Well, let's put this conversation and this debate in a time capsule, and we'll open it up at the end of October and see how we're all feeling about it then. But thanks for the call. We're going to support some terrorism and play that MIA song coming up next here on K-Rock. Also, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Offspring, Sublime, and more. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. The Afro line is 323-520-AFRO. It's an answering machine 24 hours a day. You call us, leave a message, we play it back on the radio.
He's a beanie girl in a beanie world. His d*** is plastic. Isn't it fantastic?
I don't know.
Nice song.
That's necessary.
That's nice. Kiko Mexico is in charge of the podcasts.
That's not always good.
All right, Dave, listen to me. This is the only time I'm going to tell you. Upload the podcast on iTunes so I can hear you. Some of us don't live in the L.A. and North Carolina area. We live in North Carolina or other places, okay? It's simple. Do it. I'm going to kill you.
Ooh.
The poor guy can't help it. He's Mexican.
I don't know what is going on with yesterday's podcast, but I know Dave had been in Chicago and was traveling, so that one may be a little bit slowed down. But he does do the best he can. He's working at the fastest possible pace for Dave.
Which is not all that fast, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
He can only do his best. As you know, Arnold is trying to cut back on some of the costs of the government, and he has apparently knocked down the pay for certain employees, and this particular listener is quite happy about that.
Good. That's good. That's happening, cutting back the money pay on them DMV workers. They are the laziest, stinkiest people. Finally, they're getting something they deserve. As a matter of fact, they're going to get paid too much still. They should bump it all the way back to $3.25 an hour. Couldn't happen to a bunch of better people, assholes.
Dude, wow.
Seems like a pretty big generic statement, doesn't it?
You know, you're going to look back on the DMV the last time you went as the golden age compared to what it's going to be like after this Friday when all of those temporary employees that helped make it as fast as it is, when they're all gone.
Remember the good old days when it used to only take 5 hours to get your license renewed?
My wife is pissed at me. We were at a bar. I was drinking. She was wearing white pants. You do the math.
Oh, no.
Well, you had to do it, man. You had
to
go for it.
What are you going
to
do?
That's she put on the pants.
She put on the pants? That's right. It's not your fault.
That's right.
You have to understand that certain types of clothing trigger an emotion in other people. That's all.
Yeah.
Here's a text to landline.
I'll send a text to landline message to you. Man paste.
That's a highlight of yesterday's program that we unfortunately cannot explain.
Man paste.
All right. Thank you.
Attention listeners of the Kevin and Bean Show. I have made a startling breakthrough. After listening to the show for over 5 years and have months of analysis and hundreds of audio clips, I have figured out how to tell the difference between Kevin's voice and Bean's voice. You see, Kevin's voice sounds gay, and Bean's voice sounds super gay. It's so simple.
Never thought of explaining it that way, but thank you.
I thought you were going to sound drunk.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, guys. I'm sitting here with my friend Carl, who's a big fan of the show. He's actually called the Afro Line before, and he's never been on it. And so, and I've been on it like 3 times already. So I just want to say thanks. Hey, Carl, you're a loser.
Sorry, Carl.
Be better, Carl. We'd put you on if you were good.
Right.
Fergie Nobrod, T-Choice Award. Very nice.
Who is he talking about? I didn't hear.
I think he said Fergie.
I thought he did, yeah.
Oh, Fergie, yeah.
If you're going to go braless any place, it's the Teen Choice Awards.
That's right, man. Know your audience.
So I was just watching the Teen Choice Awards for some reason, and Miley Cyrus and her little dance crew were on stage dancing away.
Yeah.
They were all wearing white pants. I'm just saying.
Ooh. Are we allowed to say that yet? She's 15.
Are we allowed to say what? She's wearing white pants.
Well,
look.
Yeah, but he was just saying.
But I'm saying that's the rule. We didn't invent it.
But isn't there an age limit of some sort?
As long as she wears white pants with
like over 18
boys,
and under 60?
Right?
I don't think there's any... I mean, I don't know.
Really? We better check the rules.
I don't know how to check the rules.
One whole week. We have rules.
Okay.
We'll check.
We'll check into it for you, all right?
I did see Miley Cyrus in 3D on my TV when they showed her concert.
All right.
And I used the old-fashioned regular 3D glasses. I didn't go out and get the special ones.
Sure.
And the regular 3D glasses actually worked. And it was really good. She was like, on my lap. She was like singing on my lap practically.
Whoa.
And she's hosting, I guess, Teen Awards.
Yeah. It's already over.
We're not really talking to Sam after the news at 9, are we?
No.
Teenagers, stop spraying the bullets.
Maybe. That's what we need to play in response to that MIA song.
Oh, there you go.
Guns and the cash registers and the things with the what now and the hey now.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Hot fudge, holy moly, for corn's sake, for the love of dairy.
Wake up, teenagers, don't play with the guns.
Right. Stop playing.
Stop playing with the guns. Spray the bullets on each other.
Don't spray bullets on each other.
It's good advice.
Apparently Psycho Mike saw the Armenian comedian naked yesterday, so we need to hear that story coming up after the news at 9. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Tuesday morning at 8:48. What's going on?
Said stop spraying something else on each other.
Oh, that's stop it. Ugh.
Man paste?
I think it's man paste. This is what I think of Chicago.
We learn a little something about Kevin every time he travels, don't we?
I lost my key card, some Olivian.
I think Hasselhoff's at the gate.
Mike,
Hasselhoff's at the gate.
There's someone calling saying let him in, but I don't think it's Kevin. It doesn't sound like him.
I lost my key card, I can't get in.
Kevin, when are you going to put the bottle down, man?
Never.
It down.
I need to.
Put it down.
You're right, I need to.
I am tired of America.
What?
I am a tired American.
Okay.
Tired of what? First, they ban Mr. T from shooting Snickers at people.
That is
what kind of country do we live in?
What kind of country do we live in? When I can't see on my television set a wholesome advertisement for the peanutty goodness that is a Snickers bar being shot out of a Gatling gun at a speedwalker.
You can see that at the Internet Roundup.
I know, but you can't see it on the broadcast
television.
That's correct. Which, by the way, I just want to let everyone know, in case you don't know, February 2009 is going all digital. Television.
Really? I hadn't heard that.
And if you have a TV set with an antenna, you won't be able to get television anymore.
Who's still got a TV set with an antenna?
Omar.
Who are these commercials for that they keep shoving down my throat every 4 minutes?
They're
on
all
television?
For Omar.
For one guy.
Yeah.
One guy who's got
DJ Omar Khan.
They can't get it through to him.
He's got rabbit ears, and everyone else has to suffer through those commercials.
I don't know what the percentage is, but it's surprisingly high of people who do not have either cable or satellite. It's more than you would think,
then
Ralph.
They shouldn't be watching television because they're not working hard enough to watch television. That's what I say.
Okay.
You're going to be lazy and just sit around with antennas on your TV, and you don't get the delicious goodness that is television.
Maybe tomorrow we'll invite some phone calls from our listeners and find out who out there is keeping the rabbit ears alive. I'd be fascinated to know at this point why somebody wouldn't have cable or satellite.
I guarantee it's not people who love television. That's what I'll guarantee you.
Yeah. But I mean, how do you
really
not
like TV? You're not rocking the rabbit ears. You're just not.
But it just seems like some TV channel would have come along in the last 30 years that you would have gone, you know what? MTV, now I'm going to get it. Or CNN, now it's worth it. Or HBO, I got to have me some of that. But how do you reject all of those? Most of the best channels are not available via an antenna.
You're preaching to the choir, Skippy.
I hear you.
I can't tell you. But I digress. First of all, we couldn't see Mr. T shooting Snickers, right?
Right.
Because the gay people were afraid it would incite violence against gay speedwalkers.
Not all, just certain.
Now we find out that the new commercial from Calvin Klein for the latest fragrance for women's Secret Obsession has been banned.
Why?
First of all, it stars Eva Mendes.
Oh, come on now.
And apparently, some people thought she was a little too naked in it. The commercial was too steamy and perhaps too nipply for some people. Because you can almost sort of kind of see sort of a little bit of something that looks like something that's shaded sort of color-esque as if it might be an areola.
If you freeze it and stare at it.
If you actually,
where can I see this commercial to judge for myself so that I'm knowledgeable on the topic?
You can go on YouTube if you'd like to see it. But word is that they've just received the unfortunate news that no television station will be carrying the new Eva Mendes Calvin Klein Secret Obsession commercial.
Of course.
I'm unhappy. I'm a tired American. Morgan Freeman recovering from a horrible car accident that happened in Mississippi. And as I mentioned before, nothing good ever happened to a black guy in Mississippi. He apparently flipped his car when he was driving a dark rural road late at night. A curve came upon him suddenly. He tried to adjust for it, overcorrected, and wound up flipping the car several times now, we find out in the report.
Guilty, 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 guilty!
I don't believe he's charged,
not charged with anything except flipping.
I do know that the rescue crews had to use the jaws of life, by the way, to get him out of the car.
Wow.
But apparently, 71-year-old Morgan is quite the tough bird. He was talking, even joking at the scene before he was airlifted to a trauma unit in Memphis, Tennessee, where they like black guys a lot more than they do in Mississippi. Apparently, he's on the road to recovery, and his passenger, a Miss Damaris Meyer, was treated for several... not important injuries, not serious injuries, and was released shortly thereafter. So, good news that Morgan looks like he's on the road to recovery.
That's good.
Speaking of curves coming upon you suddenly, I've watched the Calvin Klein commercial twice in a row now.
Mm-hmm. And it's definitely nipple. You don't have to look hard to see that it is nipple. She's laying on her back and she kind of rolls over and her hand goes above her breast and a nipple is exposed in the commercial.
Well,
that's
all right then.
Kind of surprising.
And, which is fine. And? I've got no complaint, no problem with that at all. But
well, let's air it at 10 after 10 o'clock at night then. Let's air
there's
it.
No mystery involved.
Let's air it
that's
for adult
for sure.
programming. Let's air it.
Let's just air it. Just put it on. Just put it on. I got a 60-inch television. I need to see it.
God bless the internet is all I have to say.
What would we do without it, huh?
Yeah.
Everyone, please relax. Shannon Elizabeth and Derek Hough are not engaged. We can all breathe a sigh of relief. However, they are still boyfriend and girlfriend, according to Shannon.
Now, she was on Dancing with the Stars. And
she was partnered up with
too?
Derek Hough.
Okay.
Who is a dancer, who is the brother of Susanna Hough of the Bengals. No?
I don't think that's right.
I don't think that's
no.
true.
David, I think it's David, Julianne David Hough.
David Julianne Hough, I think. One of the Hough family.
No, Julianne. Who's
Julianne Hough.
Yeah, she's another dancer on that show.
Apparently, Derek is going to get his new partner in a couple weeks, and Shannon Elizabeth says, we have no clue who his co-star is going to be. I'm hoping it's someone who's like 70 or 80 years old. Just a few years older than Shannon herself, so I guess she's a little jealous. Okay, we got the Secret Obsession commercial on right now. We're
might
watching.
Be the best one ever.
can we see that again? Excuse me. Just talk amongst yourselves, radio listeners, while we watch these secrets. All right, it's in sort of like a black and white, a negative exposure.
Starts off
kind
fuzzy,
of thing.
Right?
Got her. She's just a black and white with her hair in her face. She's rolling
right.
around
oh,
there.
That.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Okay.
That was. So, yeah, but it is definitely.
But it's supposed to be.
Right, and it's good.
It's very
but it's
good.
Also it's also half a second maybe of a black and white nipple from a distance. It's not really going to kill anyone to see it.
It's not close enough, if you ask me.
I agree.
I'm buying it.
Slow that down.
Whatever they're selling, I'm buying it.
They wouldn't allow that nipple on a network primetime show at 10 p.m., though, either, Ralph. It's not just the commercial, right?
Well,
I mean, it's just they don't do that.
Whose side are you on?
Why are you bad?
I'm just saying it's consistent with previous policy on the network.
Just don't say. How about that? How about that for once in your life? Just don't say.
Let's talk to Troy in Burbank real quick. Let's take 45 seconds out of the report and find out what's up with this guy calling us from West Virginia.
Okay.
Hey, Troy.
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's up, Troy?
Hey, I was just calling to say that you guys, a little comment about the rabbit ears. I don't have a pair of rabbit ears. I do have rabbit ears. I don't have cable.
Don't have
cable
or satellite.
But there's nothing on.
That's true.
So you hate television,
are you kidding
right?
Me?
No, that is true. There's nothing on.
No, hold on. The only thing that's on is Battlestar Galactica on cable.
Okay.
That's it.
And you don't get that because you have rabbit ears.
Right. But I got friends at TiVo.
So how are you enjoying the Battlestar Galactica at your house?
Like I said, I have people that TiVo.
I'd so, like to ask.
This is the guy I'm talking about. If he doesn't get the signal in February 2009,
you don't
screw
care.
Screw him.
I'm with you. I totally
care
agree.
He about television. Why should we worry about whether he gets the signal or
and
not?
And if his friend is listening, stop taping that for him.
Well,
yep.
You know what, though? Pick up a book.
Oh, dear
sweet.
Oh,
that's
who you are.
He's
all right, Troy.
Can't
all
do both, Lisa. You can't have cable
no.
and read a book.
No.
See,
right.
These are the bastards that they're talking about,
yep.
And I want them to stop talking to them in those commercials, because he doesn't give a rat's ass what happens in February 2009.
That's true.
And we don't care what happens to him. Death to Troy, in fact.
That's right.
I would
Death
like to him Troy. To wake up someday in March of 2009 and go, hey, where's the television? Well, you don't have to worry about it. Go to your friend's house and bother him for his Battlestar Galactica tapes. Pick up a book.
I agree.
Well,
let's make it a bad surprise for those people next February.
Why don't you pick up my crank?
My goodness.
I hate that guy. Can you tell?
The voice of the people is heard once more.
Exactly.
I'm steamed. That's all I'm saying. Lindsay Lohan!
Yeah.
Maybe right. Making an honest woman out of Samantha Morton.
Oh, good.
Morton. What's her name? Ronson.
Ronson.
Ronson. Ronson. Of course, the inventor of the famous Ronson Burger.
That's true. That's very true.
She may be getting married to Lindsay. One source says that Lindsay's mom and manager, or momager, Dina, is planning a wedding for the two ladies.
Oh, she's just the devil.
Wait till you see how devilish she is. She may be planning their nuptials so it coincides with the release of Lindsay's new album, Spirit in the Dark, which will be dropping this November. So it can all be one big just feeding frenzy.
Because we're all so excited about her music as well, by the way.
It'll all tie in, Kev. We'll be fascinated by her lesbian marriage, and we'll buy her CD, and then everything, just the world will come to fruition.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Yeah.
It'll be perfect. It'll be a perfect little world we live in.
Can't wait.
You know what they're doing now on the entertainment news shows? Is they're starting to ask celebrities about other celebrities. They've stopped sure. reporting on celebrities. Now they're interviewing celebrities about other celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
So well, that's the famous TMZ topic. I mean, that's all they do with the celebrities they meet on the sidewalk.
It was either Insider or Entertainment Tonight. I don't think it was the Insider because now they just show freaks and medical oddities.
Medical oddities, yeah.
But there was some red carpet they were doing, and they had a copy of the People magazine cover with Angelina and Brad and the babies on it.
Right.
Said, what do you think of Angelina and Brad's babies? And they'd show them the picture.
What do you think of the babies?
Yeah.
What kind of question is that?
People like William H. Macy are like, they're nice looking babies.
Are they just hoping?
Putting them right on the spot. It was very strange.
Are they just hoping they'd say something foolish or lame or? I don't even understand the question.
I just hope someday, some point in my life, I get to have enough celebrity where I can be asked one of those questions. So I can say, I think that one's got Down syndrome. That's what I would have said. They never would have aired it. I'll tell you that much.
Whoever asks that question just needs to be punched in the face.
That one looks a little tardy.
Late?
Yeah, late.
Okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays. You know Maureen McCormick. She was Marcia on the Brady Bunch.
No Bell.
Yes.
No Bell. Come on. What?
You got to.
For sure.
You got to give. What's her name?
Monica.
Monica. Marcia.
Marcia Bell. Got to give her a Bell.
Now?
Always.
No, always. There's no always. The Bell is current.
She is an icon of teenage erections. She must be serviced.
But the Bell is current. It's not. It doesn't have a memory.
It's like a Hall of Fame.
The Bell does not have a memory.
It's a Hall of Fame Bell.
It does not have a memory.
It's like the Hall of Fame.
Then you need a different Bell.
Put the jacket on her and you just give her the Erection Hall of Fame.
No.
Once you're in the Hall of Fame, you're in the Hall of Fame forever, Kevin. You can't take that away.
She is the Art Monk of erections.
That's right.
That's what she is.
What?
Art Monk just got inducted to the Football Hall of Fame.
All right. That's not.
Happy for
That's
him.
Not right. You people are bad.
Pat Smear from Foo Fighters is 49 years old today. Tawny Kitaen.
Yes.
Is 47. Can we give her a Bell?
Sure.
Kevin? Is that all right with you?
Sure.
I don't know. She looked better 10 years ago than she does now.
I'm just saying the Bell has no memory. That's all I'm saying.
Just like Kevin.
Just like me.
The Bell has no memory.
Adam Yauch
of the Beats.
Steve.
Boys is 44 years old today.
Beef. How low can you go?
Where's the Wicca Wicca Wicca? That's my favorite part of that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They're all separate.
I didn't have that ready. Yeah, they're all separate pieces.
Oh, I thought they all came together. Yeah, that's what
there
I'm
you
talking
go.
About. And Jonathan Silverman from Single Guy and Weekend at Bernie's and various other projects. He's 42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7, K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 minutes after 9 o'clock.
How long ago did we meet Sam, the Armenian comedian, Kevin? Do you remember a time doing the show where there was no Armenian comedian?
No. I remember you were out on the street, and he came up to you. That's all I remember, right? Mm-hmm.
That's how you guys met him.
Yeah. He came up on the street.
Just showed up one day, yeah. Let's hear a little Sam, then we'll go to him on the phone to find out what's new. He hasn't come in with the band in a while either, by the way.
I just want to forget you, baby. And I know it's impossible.
We thought back then that he was just
and
a singer.
I know it's impossible.
And we didn't know.
No idea how many skills, how many talents, and all these years later in 2008, we've still got Sam, the Armenian comedian, hanging around our neck like an albatross. Hey, Sam, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
Oh, man, I'm all happy with you guys. Whatever you guys do with me, I'm so happy.
Really?
Yes.
Because about every other time, you're cursing us.
Yeah.
Well, if it doesn't happen, whatever, how I want to do it, how I be contact with me, you know, and all that, so when...
I am not following this. I do not recognize those words.
If he doesn't call me back, I get upset.
Oh, I see.
Okay. All right. Let me back up one step, Armenian comedian. So yesterday was the photo shoot that you've been hot on for some time. You wanted to make a calendar or a poster or something with a bunch of models. And yesterday, Psycho Mike and Lightning at KROQ.com made that happen for you, right?
Absolutely. It was one of the best come true. It was in Hollywood Hills, under the sign, like I'm a star in the sky. It was the best.
Okay, I'm not following that. Psycho Mike, what happened?
Just the greatest thing ever. I mean, Sam was unbelievable.
And you did a photo shoot.
Yeah, yeah. At some dude's house in the Hollywood Hills, pretty nice pad.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam brought a bunch of models that he knew somehow, and we did a photo shoot. That's exactly a bunch of different kind of like motifs. I had Sam like sunning by the pool, and the girls massaging him. I had more of a dominatrix type one. Then I had Sam in a suit, just dragging his feet in and out of the pool. It was great.
Do you know the call? I mean, what are we going to do with this?
I don't know,
Sam. What was your plan? What do we want to do with these photos?
K-Rock calendar.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, of course.
Okay.
I should have known.
Yesterday
that.
it was a calendar movie poster promo.
All of those?
Yeah. MTV Music, you know.
See, here we go.
MTV Music, what?
MTV Music style, you know, video, KROQ video, and go on a tour. I want to go on tour with buses on every continent in the United States, you know.
I'm not following this. Okay.
United States, good.
If I speak Sam, he's saying that Lightning came down there with a video camera, and he wants it to be put up at KROQ.com as a video.
I can guarantee that'll happen.
Okay.
It's going to be a heck of a lot of stuff to edit, so give Lightning some time. But that will be a video, and I'm telling you, this is maybe Sam's greatest work to date.
Wow. How dare you? That's blasphemy.
Saying something. Say that again. I didn't understand.
He said you were very good yesterday, Sam. He said you did a tremendous job at the photo shoot.
Oh, man. I was like the king in heaven on earth, Bob.
Right, right.
Right. Sam, I have a...
mafia. Woo.
Right. I have a guy-to-guy question here, Sam, since it's just us talking here. You had this photo shoot with seven young, beautiful models in bikinis, and you brought your wife to it. What's that deal?
Because I didn't want to explain to her afterwards what happened. It was too much headache, you know.
We were asking you to be nude, if I recall correctly. Psycho Mike was demanding nudity.
Not yet.
What do you mean, not yet?
I was almost.
No, but I'm saying
we got wiener. That's all that matters to me.
Oh, no.
Oh, tell him about the champagne pouring all over my body.
I'm going to throw up.
I told them off air, but there is a part where Sam removes his mini Sam, and the girls pour champagne all over it.
What?
I said, my ding-a-ling is going to get drunk tonight, you know?
Yep, that's what he said.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Well, it sounds like a great time. So, video later in the week, Mike, you think? That's the plan?
Yeah, either later this week or early next week. Like I said, we were there for a long time, and Lighting did not stop running tape. Even the in-between shoots where I would talk to Sam's wife, interviewing the models, getting some behind the scenes. So there was a lot that went into it, but I can guarantee it is going to be something amazing to behold.
And then when does the K-Rock calendar come out?
Oh, right after he gets done with his tour of all the continents of the United States.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
It's almost like Lightning, who's no longer with the show, is still picking the prizes. Like he's haunting us from the grave or something.
What wheels-oriented prize do we have now?
He's not dead.
Haunting us from the grave. But I'm saying he doesn't pick the What to Do Nephew prizes anymore that you get for calling. But today it's a pair of tickets to Championship Off-Road Racing. Saturday and Sunday, August 16th and 17th at the Fairplex in Pomona. For more information, go to COR. That's coreracing.com. 1-800-520-1067. I want to start with Annika in Fullerton. She's on line 4. She's another one of the people that you were talking about, Ralph, who's still got the rabbit ears.
Annika?
Annika.
Anna?
Oh, sorry, Annika.
Annika?
I'm sorry, Annika.
So, yeah, I still have a TV with an antenna.
Okay.
What's it like living in 1920? Is it cool?
Yeah, it's been cool. It's more simple, you know?
Do you watch TV, though, really?
Rarely.
Not rarely.
I do. I watch The Simpsons. There's some things, you know, on cable, but I do have to actually get up and walk over to the TV and readjust those antennas.
Yeah.
And you have to put down the book that you're reading constantly, right?
No, I'm not like a book reading freak or nothing.
I think our point is that that TV really has advertised enough about that.
We're getting inundated with these commercials about you need an adapter for your rabbit ears if you want to watch television come February 2009.
I saw those commercials.
Right, but there's still 6 months to go, and they run them every single hour on every single channel all the time. Message received.
And do the people those commercials are for probably aren't watching TV at the time.
Right.
Do they have to? Is it a law or something? That
yes.
They
yes,
they have to let you know that you need an adapter for your antenna or else you won't get television.
So we've decided to call each person with rabbit ears personally and say, please understand that by February of next year.
Well, that's very kind of you. Okay. Actually, I mean, I do was able to get those stations in to see the commercials. They do play them frequently, so I did catch on to that.
Okay. Good. Okay.
But I think I got plenty of time.
All right.
Glad you're hooked up.
All right. All right. Thanks for the call, Annika, with an ah.
Meth kills.
Let's try.
Let Annika know that.
Let's try Robert in Covina. He's on line one on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Robert. Thanks for calling. What'd it do, nephew?
Hey, what'd it do, nephew?
What's going on?
Hi, Robert.
Yeah, though, I just want to let you guys know this Saturday is for my daughter's second birthday. I rented a midget.
Nice!
Nothing a two-year-old loves more than a midget.
Isn't that kind of scary for a two-year-old?
Well, that's what we asked them. They said they recently did a three-year-old, so everything went all right.
But, here's what I like. Does your daughter have no friends her own size? You have to import some?
Here's what I like, is that Robert is not hiring the midget for the two-year-old. He's hiring the midget for himself.
That's right. Actually, that's true. Actually, I'm more excited than she is.
Of course!
Yeah. You're a good father, Robert.
Recently, she got into watching the Willy Wonka, the original one. So I was telling my wife, well, I heard a segment on Kevin and Bean saying, you know, well
rent
you
have
to rent a midget.
Sure.
Right? So I told her, she's like, no, you can't. Because she never believed me. Everything I say from Kevin to Bean, she doesn't believe.
Well, that's a good policy. I mean, I have to be honest. She's doing the right thing.
Are you going
to
paint the midget orange and put a green wig on him and make him an Oompa Loompa?
Yeah. He's coming out dressing the full costume and everything.
That is going to scare your kid to death.
That is awesome. You know what? Fill a wading pool with like a bunch of brown water and pretend you're going to drown her in the chocolate river.
Oh, she'll love it.
That's a good
idea. You're a good father, Robert. You do good work.
A ghost is goop. It's gone.
Lisa May.
Gene Simmons.
It's been a while.
No, Gene.
Speaking of drowning in the chocolate river.
I was afraid of that. Let's talk to Benny in Hollywood on line three. We were talking to Spencer Pratt a few minutes ago, one of the stupidest men in Hollywood, and Benny has a story that relates. Hey, Ben, what'd it do?
Well, how's it going, guys? What's
good.
Up, Lisa May?
Hey, Benny.
I was over at the sidebar a couple weeks ago, and my buddy pointed out this guy on the stairs, and he said, that's Spencer Pratt, and I didn't know who it was, but I ran out there, and I was like, hey, dude, I play drums for Linkin Park, man. You guys, my girlfriend watches you guys all the time, and he immediately, his eyes lit up. He's like, man, really? We love Linkin Park. And he yells across the bar, hey, Heidi, come here.
Oh, awesome.
And sure enough, she came running over, and he's like, this is the drummer for Linkin Park. And it got bigger than I wanted it to be because everyone started hearing
you
that.
You think?
And
Linkin Park's over here.
And then we got a picture with him, and he took my number down. And so he started texting me stuff like, hey, man, we want to go on tour with you guys. Next time we see you, you know, we'll be eating sushi, bro.
Yes.
That's awesome. Yes.
You're doing the right thing. You need to invite him on tour? Tell him where to meet you?
Yep. Yes.
I'll have him meet me at some random club and say we're playing.
No, have him meet you in some random state.
Yeah,
New Mexico, dude.
Yeah.
Why don't you join us on the Wisconsin leg of the tour? We'll meet you there in Green Bay.
How did you happen to choose? It's Rob. Is that the guy? That's the guy who's the drummer. He's like he's kind of so low key, like nobody would really
Benny has
like
no
know.
Idea who the drummer for Linkin Park is.
It was just such an obscure thing. Yeah, I was like, I don't know who that would be. No one can call me on it right now.
That's
awesome. That's very funny.
It was hilarious. But yeah, I was texting back and forth him that night, and I was like, hey, bro, meet us at this bar. And he's like, oh no, we're doing a recording session because Heidi's making this song, recording this thing. And I was like, oh, whatever.
Hey, Benny.
Yeah.
You need to do the right thing and get us Spencer's number. That's what you need to do. Forward that to us.
I might do that for
That's
you.
What I'm talking about.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well done, my friend. Thank you for the call. Let's try Tony and Whittier on line five. Hi, Tony. Thanks for calling. What'd it do?
What'd it do, everyone?
What's going on?
First time ever nude, and I went to a nude resort this weekend.
First really? Time nude and you went to a nude resort?
Yeah.
You'd never been nude before in your whole life?
Really? Well,
your clothes must be
beating. Like, not in public.
What about when you shower? All right, so you went to a nude resort. Where was it?
It was in Riverside, Corona.
Mm-hmm. In Riverside. Oh, that must be a sight.
Those are the prettiest people right there.
No, you're wrong. You'd be surprised. There are a lot of young, hip, attractive, very attractive people.
You know, nudism is like a new fad. It's a very popular young person sport.
Is there a beach in Riverside
when you went.
That I'm not aware of?
No.
Pardon me?
It's a resort. I'm sure
it's
they
a resort.
Just have pools.
It's just like
it says nude beach here. I didn't understand what
it was.
Well,
that's our screeners. Okay. They also said it was nudist. N N-U-D-E-S-T. Like, right. he was the most nude person.
He was the most nude. He took off more clothes than anyone.
Yes.
In Miss Cleo's defense, she went to school in the United Arab Emirates or someplace, so she doesn't really speak our language. Kevin, aren't you going to dismantle this man's story that he saw attractive people at a nudist colony? Right. I know how you are about it.
It's just bogus. He's just lying. That's all.
I don't believe he is. I think Tony's telling the truth.
Although there were some of the other ones that weren't very attractive, but still, for the most part, there were a lot of very young, attractive, sexy people.
I'm going to tell you that Tony's not young or attractive. That's what I'm going to tell
Tony,
you right
now. Tony, this was a nudist resort. This wasn't like a swingers resort or anything, right?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, so it's bad form if you show any signs of excitement while you're out there with the nudists.
But although there are certain cliques that do get involved in some of that kind of sport, I'm sure.
Did you have trouble with that?
No.
Then they weren't hot. That's what I'm saying.
All right.
He was a little self-conscious being nude himself for the first time.
Yeah, I think so.
Fear is the erection's enemy, Kevin. You know, they always told you that.
I've never heard
Tony,
that.
Tony, I'm glad you called. That's a very interesting story. His weekend kicked our weekend's ass, I guess. Let's try, do we have time for one more? Can we do Bill in Huntington Beach with his crackpot theory of the morning? Hey, Bill, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What'd it do?
Hey, what'd it do, nephew? Lisa May.
What'd it do, Bill?
Do me a favor. First, walk further away from the telephone before you speak with us.
Sorry, I'm on the headset.
Yeah, take it off, dude. Take it right off. Take it off. Nope, take it off.
Hold on, take it off. Okay, I'm getting it.
You don't want him to get a ticket, Kevin.
I do want him to get a ticket.
Why?
Because I think it would be funny.
Okay.
You think it would be funny?
Plus, we could hear him better.
Why using the headset in the bathroom, though? That's what I want to know.
Hey, you know, everybody's got their private time. Leave me alone.
All right, what's your crackpot theory?
My theory is maybe Christian Bale really is a wacko, because I saw him on that movie Harsh Times last night. And he was really whacked out in it.
I've never seen that movie, but it is just a movie.
It's one of Psycho Mike's favorite films. What's Harsh Times about, Psycho Mike?
Christian Bale plays a... Jesus Christ.
What is going on with Bill's phone?
Are you ordering out the window?
Are you ordering an airstrike? Are you trapped behind enemy lines?
There, what? Shut it off.
No,
couldn't sound any worse, Bill.
No,
seriously.
No, okay.
I'm going to put you on hold, Bill. Hold on.
All right. Psycho Mike, what's Harsh Times all about?
Christian Bale plays a Gulf War veteran who returns back to his hometown here in Los Angeles, and he's having a hard time adjusting to the real world after all the atrocities.
But he's a cop, isn't he?
He wants to become a cop, but he's too mentally unstable to be accepted by department.
So he's like an outlaw.
Yeah.
He plays by his own rules.
And he slowly unfolds as the movie goes on.
So Bill is suggesting that that's true in his real life?
Yeah. And he also plays a guy who is like working construction, doesn't have a lot of money. You know, I don't see the relation to the real Christian Bale.
Because there isn't any. And guess what? He's not really Batman either, okay? He may be just an actor. But thank you for the call with the crackpot theory. I want to thank our special guests. Speaking of movies, the stars of Pineapple Express, James Franco and Seth Rogen for being on the program today. The movie, of course, opens up everywhere tomorrow, and it looks hilarious.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. We got to talk about, reluctantly, we have to talk about Bean's blog because...
He's out, right? He's out of topics.
I'm just going to leave it with that. You won't believe it now. He must be out of topics. Yeah.
You can go to stronglywordedletter.com if you want a head start on the topic tomorrow that they think
Bean's blog, Bean's blog, no one gives a fuck.
Is it too hot for the internet? Is that the problem with the picture that I posted?
Yeah, that's it.
Too hot.
Too much nudity in the photo. Is that the problem?
You're a regular Eva Mendez.
That's the problem. Oh. Also, tomorrow we're going to continue with our series of Ask. We have Ask a 911 Operator.
Ooh, interesting.
And considering the calls that get put up on the internet with people that call for information, they call from the where was it, Burger King line or something? They didn't make the right burger?
Exactly.
There's one this week. A guy calling 911 because he wasn't happy with the Subway sandwich the way it was made. I mean, this week that happened. It's unbelievable.
That just happened.
Remember Doc? Remember his 911 call? That was embarrassing.
911, what is your emergency?
We've got an unconscious woman, possibly epileptic, possibly drinking, possibly too much great head.
Excuse me?
She's multi-orgasmic, and I learned how to kill with my tongue in Nam.
Wow.
Okay, what is your location?
The first U.S. commemorative coin featured Christopher Columbus.
Sir, your location, please.
We're at the Jamet Inn on Wilshire.
Is the woman breathing?
The ring-tailed lemur can only hear you when you whisper.
Sir, I need to know if the woman is breathing.
Is that important?
Sir, what is your name?
Bean Baxter.
Hey!
Mr. Baxter, help is on the way.
All right. Could you please hurry? I've only got about 2.5 hours left on my Viagra bottle.
Just stay on the phone, sir.
Marshmallow chicks remove hard water stains from porcelain. Hello?
So you can see their job is pretty rough. That's not a job you want, is what I'm saying.
All of that tomorrow morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, but that doesn't mean you should go away because Kat Corbett is next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including Coldplay's new one called Lost, also some Linkin Park. We know the drummer of that band, as a matter of fact. System of a Down, Foo Fighters, Ramones, and more straight ahead right here on K-Rock.